Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy!
Fabia.
Mr. President, in your speeches now, you rarely talk or mention Osama bin Laden. Why is that? Also, can you tell the American people you have any more information if you know if he is dead or alive?
Mm-hmm.
Final part here. Deep in your heart, don't you truly believe that until you find out if he is dead or alive, you won't really eliminate the threat of
him? Deep in my heart, I know the man's on the run if he's alive at all. And who knows if he's hiding in some cave or not. We hadn't heard from him in a long time. And the idea of focusing on one person indicates to me people don't understand the scope of the mission. Terror is bigger than one person. And he's a person who's now been marginalized. His network is, his host government has been destroyed. He's the ultimate parasite, who found weakness, exploited it, and met his match. As I mentioned in my speeches, I do mention the fact that this is a fellow who is willing to commit youngsters to their death, and he himself tries to hide, if in fact he's hiding at all. So I don't know where he is. Nor do, you know, I just don't spend that much time on him. I'll be honest with you. I'm more worried about making sure that our soldiers are well supplied, that the strategy.
And maybe that was the problem. Just don't spend much time on him. And why would you? Why would you, if Osama bin Laden was the entire raison d'etre, poor French, of the bloodbath that you've unleashed all over the Middle East? I wouldn't spend much time on him either. I'd stay as far away from him as I possibly could. I'd need him to be alive. And George Bush did need him to be alive. He needed to be able to imagine that Osama bin Laden was, hanging out writing romance novels with Saddam Hussein somewhere in a palace in Baghdad. I'd need for Osama bin Laden to be the absolute ultimate Where's Waldo character. But, you know, cue the munchkins. I was up late watching the coverage, as were many of you, I'm sure. Hi, I'm Bob. This is The Horn. It's Moran Monday. And Jesus, have we got some Morans for you. There's so much to be said, and I hope we will devote... Listen, this program is formatted on the basis of what we like to call conversation radio. And if you want to engage in the conversation, I want you to have absolutely as much time as humanly possible for engaging in that conversation this evening. So I'm not going to take up a lot of time, but you're going to have to fill up the phone lines first, and you're going to have the patience to stand by until your time comes around. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, Head On. I watched the coverage last night, and sat there. Well, early on I realized I was going to have to put on my sort of tattered and worn magician's cloak with the tattered sleeves and the worn through moons and stars on them and get out the magic eight ball and predict what the right wing response would be today. I'm sad to say that my skills are still they are tremendous skills. Not really, because predicting how bitter and petty and hateful the right wing would be about this is actually, frankly, quite easy. You know? Sadly, it is. But even some of it was shocking. But before we go very far into this discussion, I want to say something. And that is this. In the midst of the national death orgy that we seem to be having, and seeing all the screaming crowds outside now I saw a picture of for God's sakes, State College, Pennsylvania last night. And it was huge. It was simply stunning. And on the one hand, you think, well, you know what? It's all right. People want to celebrate this, and a lot of them were college kids. And shoot, college kids will celebrate the two birds landing on a wire if it means they. I imagine there were sofas burning and couches burning up in Morgantown last night. In Morgantown, they'll burn couches. They'll burn couches to celebrate most anything. Birds on a wire, like I said. But in the midst of all that celebration, I guess I'm just such a downer that I couldn't help thinking about all the mothers and fathers, about all the sisters and brothers, the aunts, the uncles, the nieces, the nephews, the cousins. Every last one of them simply trying to eke out their life on this little blue-green time machine, this little marble hurtling through space. I couldn't help thinking about all of those who, without having ever done anything to deserve it, then again, Clint Eastwood in Unforgiven says, deserving's got nothing to do with it. Who didn't deserve it, but who were sent to a brutal death. Over 1 million Iraqis. 1 million Iraqis sent to a brutal death by George W. Bush in lieu of actually doing the hard work of taking down a thug. And at the end of the day, that's what Osama bin Laden was. He was a criminal. And a thug. As has so often been the case with the bete noirs of the United States, he was a thug of our creation. And by our, I mean our governments. It was greasy-headed old Ronnie Reagan who called the Afghan Mujahideen, with whom Osama bin Laden was closely affiliated, freedom fighters, and compared them to the founders, the patriots who founded this country. Yeah, he really did. He really, really did. But it was Osama bin Laden who gave Bush the green light to start a war of naked, unmitigated aggression in Iraq that had actually nothing to do with the events of 11 September 2001. And so as I watched people climbing up and down trees and waving flags and screaming, USA! 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 I couldn't help but think of 1 million human beings, non-combatants, who screamed no words, no letters, but merely screamed as they were in various and sundry fashion relieved of their occupancy, their corporeal occupancy of this planet. I thought about wedding parties. You know, Sunday was Agnes and my anniversary. 18 years ago Sunday, we got married outdoors. And I thought about wedding parties. I thought about wedding parties taking place outdoors in the hill country of Afghanistan, where 10 and 20 and 30 and 40 innocent human beings had also been relieved of their occupancy of this planet by American-made Predator drones bearing Hellfire missiles. I guess maybe I'm overthinking this. But by God, somebody. Because, you know, last night, and justifiably, there was remembrance of all the Americans who have lost their lives in this ill-begotten, stupid war, and the misbegotten, stupid warmonger who started the wars, George W. Bush. There was a lot of mention of those who had lost their lives on the American side. Never once did I hear so much as a word of condolence said for those who lost their lives who didn't happen to be from the USA, USA, USA. Not one. And what were unarguably brilliant remarks by President Obama, as good a set of words as he has ever uttered. Words that, frankly, will probably go down in history alongside a day that will live in infamy by Franklin Roosevelt. Certainly no Gettysburg Address. But the most historic words ever uttered by Barack Obama, without a doubt. There was considerable mention of the people who lost their lives, the innocents who lost their lives on the 11th day of September 2001. There was abundant mention of those American military personnel who had paid the ultimate price. But again, not a word for the innocents. Certainly President Obama did say that Osama bin Laden was a criminal who had killed thousands of Muslims on his own. And I suppose it's too much to ask the President of the United States to remind the American people that his predecessor in office had more blood on his hands than Osama bin Laden ever had on his. But as I watched all the tweets go through, I think I saw two others. I saw two others that mentioned the horrible loss of life that this has caused. There are literally, by conservative estimates, not rounding up errors, conservative estimates, there are a million less people in Iraq today because George Bush said, "Fuck Saddam, we're going to take him out." And the Republican Party and the Bush administration did everything in their power to convince the American people that Saddam Hussein had somehow worked in concert, collegiality, and common cause with Osama bin Laden to bring about the attacks of September 11th, when it was the biggest, filthiest lie that has ever, well, that has been perpetrated probably within the 21st century and probably the 20th as well. And so my mind has been taken up in the last, 18 hours. My mind has been taken up with remembering fathers kissing daughters goodnight and tucking them in as they went to sleep on the rooftop in an Iraqi summer when sleeping in the house was just too stifling. And that father or that mother spending the next day sifting through the rubble for the various separated sundry parts of a beloved daughter. Of infants left wailing in the streets because they were in a trice rendered orphans. I think of the innocents. I think of the innocents from firefighters to policemen to office workers to janitors who lost their lives on September the 11th, 2001, and wonder if their shades, were they able to so express it, would have wanted mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, aunts, uncles, cousins, nieces, nephews, to be slaughtered in their name by a warmonger named George Bush. If anything, it is abundantly apparent that it's time to get out of South Asia and it's time to get out of Iraq. And I don't mean drawing down to a skeleton force or something like that. I mean, get out. What President Obama presented us with last night and early into the morning was the whole reason for every military death that has taken place and every civilian death that has taken place in that sad and blasted region. The mission, 8 years to the day since a codpiece wearing George Bush landed on the deck of the USS Abraham Lincoln and declared mission accomplished, 8 years to the day, that mission that was not then accomplished is accomplished now. And truly it is time to go home. But for those of you who hope that you will, that they will come home, well, there's an old saying, hope in one hand and in the other and see which one fills up faster. Because the global war on terror, the GWAT, even sounds nasty, doesn't it? The global war on terror isn't going to end. And no, you can't keep your shoes on when you get on an airplane. And no, you probably can't carry a bottle of water on either without risking a proctological exam. This nation has been permanently transformed by the so-called war on terror, and not for the good. The camel got his nose under the tent, and in the last 10 years has gotten the hump under too, and if anything's sticking out of the tent, it's the tail on the outside, and the whole camel is in the tent. And here's the trick with camels getting their noses under tents. Once they're in, you can't get them out. Would you like to see the Patriot Act done away with? I would too. It ain't gonna happen. Would you like to see habeas corpus returned to its full force and effect and the majesty of its presence? It ain't gonna. The evil Goldstein has been killed, to use an Orwellian reference. But we're still after Ayman al-Zawahiri. We're still after Mullah Omar. We're still after. And it is the nature of empire that we always will be. and I wish I could tell you otherwise, but it would not be honest of me if I were to say something different. So with that in mind, we will go over your responses, your thoughts, and probably talk somewhere along the way about these idiot right-wingers. The word deathers is being passed around to describe the people now who want to see the long-form death certificate. And they have proliferated like little maggots crawling out of a pile and turning into flies in the last 18 hours. Among them, Andrew Breitbart being maggot-in-chief. Fox got caught putting Obama bin Laden dead on a crawl on one of its local affiliates. George W. Bush has turned into a shake-and-bake commercial. Do you you remember this?
Can I have you fried chicken, Mama? I want a hail. I don't fry chicken anymore. But you can both help me with the shake and bake. Susie, you shake, and Sally, you bake.
Fine chicken, honey. Real crisp. Moist and tender, too.
Mama didn't fry it, Daddy.
But it's crispy like fried.
It's shake and bake. And ready to help.
I'm George W. Bush, and I helped.
We've got to have a little something to lighten the mood, don't we? Then there's Joe Scarborough. We'll talk about him, too. Oh, we're going to talk about a lot tonight. Tonight, we will find out the real meaning of conversation radio. There's one line open, and let's get things started. Hey, welcome to the program.
Up?
Yes, Maura?
Yes, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you? You've been much in my thoughts.
It's a tough day. I take no joy in what's happened with Obama. With Osama, excuse me. I think the people out celebrating for the most part are kids that were never really touched by death.
Yeah, these are college kids. Many of them, at least, in Washington were college right. kids. And they'll go celebrate a hockey victory.
Right.
Anything that's an excuse to tap the keg.
I mean, I'm glad that he's not around any longer to be the figurehead and the rallying call for jihad, but I'm overwhelmed by death. All I see is people hanging out windows, people jumping to their deaths. I worry about the people I knew, how they died, and I put that out of my head. I think about the other 3,000 American citizens that died in the U.S., the 5,000 in Iraq, the 2,500 in Afghanistan, and like you said, probably a million civilians over there. It's not a day for celebrating.
No. No, it's not. It is a time, I would think, because, you know, as the news became apparent, as I watched last night, Maura, you know, I didn't holler Yahoo or start chanting USA, USA or anything. It was more like, well, we did it, and we should have done it.
Right.
If anything, what this proves is that what a lot of us said early on, that the way to get him was to send in a special ops team, wipe him out, and get back out and say, you know, don't do it again, was the way to go about it.
Absolutely.
I'm I can't even imagine what you and your fellow New Yorkers must be thinking. Because even sitting here in the hills and hollers of West Virginia, Maura, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed. I'm of course angered and disgusted by what I see coming from the right wing, but I'm just overwhelmed with the cost and the loss. And the foolhardiness that has for the years of George Bush accompanied all of this, and now you got people like Eric Cantor out there saying, "Well, Obama followed George's lead."
Oh God!
I wanted to put a brick through the television. It was too much, and they're all over the place. They're scurrying around. trying to take credit for something they had nothing in. And it's just it's too much for one little psyche to handle, at least mine.
Absolutely. I'll be glad when a little time passes.
Yeah. And because I have to imagine, and I don't want to say anything or put any words in your mouth, but as you describe it, Maura, this must be like a reopening of old wounds, because you
That's
were
exactly
there, you
what
experienced it,
is. It,
you saw it, you felt it, you smelled it.
Only 23 people that died that day.
23.
Yeah.
Mercy.
I worked in the financial services industry over 20 years. You meet a lot of people. And 23 of them lost their lives that day.
Have you talked to anybody else today, Maura? Have you gotten just any sharing or sense?
Yeah, I talked to one of my friends from my old work days, and they're feeling pretty much the same way I am.
Well, I can only extend to you my condolences, and thank you, Maura, for taking the sober approach to this. You know, as one email that just came in said, I think all the attention showered on this story is unbecoming a nation of civilized people.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for taking my call, Bob.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Maura. I'm glad to know you're feeling better.
And happy anniversary to you.
Oh, thank you. The e-card was just lovely, by the way.
Oh, very good.
Agnes just loved it. You take care, Maura. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
To use what is probably an entirely unapt analogy, and sorry, sports is our national metaphor, so I'll go there. When you see somebody go into the end zone and practically have a seizure, having just scored a touchdown, as opposed to somebody who goes in, hands the ball to the referee, and goes immediately back to the huddle, there's all the difference in the world. There's a professionalism to that guy who gets the job done and just goes back to work. The general subheading for that is act like you've done it before. Act like you've been there before. And we're not doing that. We're manifesting all of these celebrations are a manifestation of something dark that has been unleashed inside the American psyche, and it is disturbing. It's one thing to chant USA, USA, USA at an Olympic basketball game or swim meet or hockey match. It's another thing entirely to do it over what should have been what was a very complex operation, but at the end of the day was accomplished by people who are trained precisely to successfully do these sorts of things. It was another day at work. I don't think any members of the team that did that would tell you that it was extraordinarily difficult, perhaps, but that's what that SEAL team does, is extraordinarily difficult things. It was a day at work. So, you know, just my thinking. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's up?
It's one of those days. What can you say? It's days like this that I really see myself as being on from some other planet, even when put next to liberals. I've heard, you know, liberal colleagues, I don't feel like a radical, but maybe I am, because there are people who are saying, well, this is exactly what Obama needed. This was him showing these right wingers that he can be a mean old son of a bitch just like they can. This is enhancing his national security credibility and that sort of thing. And I just...
Something about it rubs you the wrong way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And
this is not...
Go ahead. You please.
Well, I mean, this is not the kind of thing that is going to really even guarantee him. You know, I've heard people saying 2012 is in the bag now. That's ludicrous.
See, I expected some of that, but I remember when George Bush the first started the first Gulf War, and everybody saying, "Well, there's no sense in the Democrats even running against him." Well, you know, a couple of years later, we were inaugurating Bill Clinton.
Right. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that Benazir Bhutto, I think it was, I want to say it was 2006, of course, did an interview in which she did not stutter at all when she said that people who had threatened her life if she were to go back to Pakistan, one of them is the person who murdered Osama bin Laden. And I know this is a very inconvenient thing for some people to deal with. I was at the grocery store during lunch today. And, you know, there was kind of a few people talking about the headlines in the papers. And I happened to mention that. And for one guy who was an older gentleman who I was talking to, I wrote down the name of David Ray Griffin's book, Osama bin Laden, Dead or Alive, which, and I just let him know, I understand, you know, I think this is incredible news and, you know, it is what it is, but it should be remembered that up until Sunday night, the balance of evidence, not all of it, but the balance of evidence was that Osama bin Laden had either been murdered or having a very serious kidney disease, not disorder, but disease. Chances are he was already dead.
You know what I think
between 02 and 03.
What I think those things and I reviewed them as well earlier today. What I think those things point to is one, we must understand that Benazir Bhutto was persona non grata in Pakistan. There's no getting around that. She had been run out by, her father had been murdered. She wasn't on the inside of the intelligence community. And the Pakistani ISI is, as we have seen, if we take everything as read in this latest scenario, the ISI is as perfidious an organization as exists on the planet. Remember, this compound where this all went down was in an upscale neighborhood peopled by retired members of the Pakistani military and within a couple of miles of the Pakistani military academy.
Yep.
What seems apparent to me is that a lot of disinformation probably was put out. I'm willing right now to credit that was him and that he's dead. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt for right now. But what I think also and is not being very thoroughly discussed is the degree to which Pakistan they aided and abetted. Now this is a nuclear power, and if you want to talk about something that gives me the absolute flop sweat, sit up in the middle of the night horrors, it is that government may actually be in the control, not of its president, but of its military and its Secret Service intelligence branch that was more than willing to connive to keep him hidden. and that you know, to put out information. Well, you know, he's been killed. You know, that's classic intelligence. That's in classic intelligence disinfo. Put people off the scent. The fact of the matter is, the man was not in a cave. He wasn't in a house. He wasn't in the so-called tribal areas. You know, he was right. In an upscale, nice place, not far from the actual capital of the entire country.
And even as the Pakistani, I guess some other department of the Pakistani ISI is furnishing a place for the U.S. To do the remote control of the drones from. I mean, they knew that the U.S. is not only doing drone attacks, but they had they knew where those drone attacks were being controlled inside of Pakistan, because there was a news story sometime last year where people near a base had blocked off a base where they had figured out that drone attacks were being controlled from there. Townspeople, local people had done that. And the U.S. was, for a couple of days, was unable to get supplies through, in or out. Once it was brought to their attention, some one way or another, that drone attacks were being staged or remotely controlled from a certain base. So I don't think anybody. There are no good guys at all. In this, and you know, cheering for something that they've done, that our guys have done. I'm sure somebody died today, yesterday in that mansion. I have no idea. You know, we can go with the idea that it was Bin Laden and several other people, but. All of this, to me, just underscores how little we know about any of this and how we're being led by the nose by not even Obama, per se, but because all Obama knows is what he's being told.
True. So, I do want to address one thing, though, something going on in the chat room, the query about... What if he's been on ICE for the last 10 years and they just brought him out conveniently? The reason that doesn't work for me is because given the political opportunists that the right wing are, one, if they had killed him early on, they would have brought out the severed head, because the Bush administration were every bit as barbaric as those that they claimed to be at war with. They certainly didn't hesitate to bring out Saddam Hussein, and they even went so far as to make a spectacle of his execution.
Right.
And so, at the very latest, if he had been on ICE for years, they would have thawed him out somewhere around the third week of October 2008.
Right.
In order to propel John McCain and Caribou Barbie to the presidency and vice presidency, respectively. If, on the other hand, Barack Obama he'd been killed earlier on under Barack Obama's watch, what would the logical logical use have been of not making a point of that then? Because remember, he was being savaged by the right wing for being too soft on Afghanistan.
Right.
I mean, they're doing it again today. And frankly, the thing we kind of have to remember is that Osama bin Laden was not some sort of panhandling, wayfaring, itinerant beggar. The man was rich, rich, rich beyond the wildest dreams of anybody within the reach of our voices right now.
That's right, yeah.
He had the power and he had the money to grease the right palms to get Pakistan to look the other way, which apparently it seems obvious to me that they did. And that's, you know, that's one of the really sobering factors here. You know, I think back to all of that the commotion that was caused over that one mercenary that got arrested over there after shooting a couple of Pakistanis in the back. Remember that story?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You got to wonder, you know, what was the interaction for that? And, you know, did it tie into this? You know, after watching, you know, this show would have been completely different had the announcement last night not been made, because we were going to have a lot of fun with the fact that, you know, Donald Trump got his ass handed to him Saturday night.
He certainly did.
And the thing is, he was getting his ass handed to him by the President of the United States at the time that the President of the United States had full knowledge of what was about to go down in Pakistan.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
And in a way, that's kind of sobering. It also shows that Barack Obama may very well be as cool as he has been described to be. I mean, he may be Michael Corleone cool. Remember the scene from The Godfather where all the bad guys are being offed at Michael's command, and at the same time he's being received as his sister's godparent? Do you renounce the devil and all his works? I do renounce him.
Right. Yeah, that's and when I was looking at the replay of that, and I was thinking, I'm trying to figure out, this happened Saturday night. The correspondence dinner was Saturday night. And so as he was standing there, I mean, he knew everything was pretty much a wrap at that point. He knew it was in the bag.
Well, he didn't know it was in the bag because it hadn't gone down yet. What he had done is before he got on the plane to go to Andrews Air Force Base, or before he got on the Air Force One at Andrews Air Force Base to go and see the devastation in Alabama, he made the call and said, go. I mean, this is the timeline as it's being put out. It was supposed to go down Saturday, but the weather didn't cooperate. And so it went down yesterday, and they put out a briefing telling all the White House press corps that they could go ahead and go home, that there would be nothing else dealing with the president that day. And the White House more or less went into lockdown mode and began to watch this thing unfold. And then they called them back, you know, at 10 o'clock on Sunday night. Did you watch any of the coverage last night?
Yes, I did.
Did you happen to see any of the early CNN coverage?
No, I didn't. I was watching C-SPAN and MSNBC.
Well, if there was any fun to be had out of last night, I have the regrettable honor of telling you, you missed it. Because CNN, of course, went into sweat condition alpha and called in everybody, including John King, who came into the studio and was, I kid you not, drunker than Adam's off ox.
Yeah.
I mean, he was faced, slurring his words, had that sort of, not focusing on anything, look on his face. I was waiting for him to put on the lampshade and dance on the desk. I mean, he was a mess. If that man still got a job, I'll be surprised. I just wasted.
Maybe that makes for good TV.
Oh, it made for excellent TV. I sat there going, come on, Wolf, shut up. Take it back to John King. Well, I don't... We've been told it has something to do. It has something to do with the CIA. You're beautiful over there. You know that you are. Bring me another drink.
John King last night was doing the Foster Brooks act from the old Dean Martin celebrity roast.
He was the one lighthearted moment. But I'll bet you people have it up on YouTube if you get a chance. If you get a chance, go watch. Just look at him. I mean, he was stunningly drunk.
I will look for that. I will look for that. All right. I'm going to listen in, see what other people got to say, but thanks for letting me vent a little bit.
Oh, you're more than welcome. You're more than welcome. That's what I hope that this evening will be, out of anything else that I hope this evening will be. So have a good night, and don't be a stranger. We'll talk soon.
You too.
Later.
Later.
Bye now. And onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Let us go to a dark place, shall we?
Oh, do let's.
Darker than dark. But before I set that up, I do have a music cue I'm going to send you right now that kind of sums up my my feelings. So I'm pretty much I think it explains everything that's going through right now. Well, now I'm having a problem loading it. I don't know if it came through or not. It's loading right now. But the whole thing with I just sent it. The whole thing with this Bin Laden thing, and you can see, and if you're a progressive and you're in the DNC and you're a Democrat, and they really showed their face in full view when this went down. Afterwards, it happened. The talk, the chatter, you saw it on Twitter. I saw it on the message boards. I saw it on the blogs. And you really, I mean, that's not progressive. That's regressive.
There you go. There's that word.
And I'm going to tell you something. This culture, when I was listening to, I was even listening to Peter Wervey, and when he was on the radio, and it was almost like he was forced. He was forced in a way because he was live on the radio. He's afraid to. It was a moment right in front of him. He couldn't think about it right away, and he just started going right into it. What a brilliant move this was, and da 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 da. And I just sat there and I started thinking, like, this is so surreal because I'm so cynical. I knew this would happen. But, you know, Bob, this always happens. I mean, the people that say they're progressive, they're really not. The people that say they're liberal, 99, 98, 97, okay, I'll be nice. 85% are not. They don't have it in them because they just want to make this about politics. And that's what it's all about, people. That's all it's about. And if you think because somebody raises a banner or somebody raises a magical red and white, blue, opulent O in the air, and you think that stands for progression, change, optimism, whatever you want to think, just look around the people, the prime supporters, the bloggers, the writers, everyone, and when shit goes down like this, what do you think happens? Go right to the regression.
Yeah, sure. But I don't think the numbers are quite what you think they are, David. I think that we have the capability. I mean, you heard the last two phone calls.
Yeah.
I think there are some really, really intelligent, sober, introspective, analytical people out there who refused to be caught up in the rah-rah. Now, I was sitting there tweeting, and I tweeted some smart-ass stuff.
Right.
Things like, I want to see the body brought back and dragged through the streets of New York City. Bless her heart, Maura said, Bob, I really don't think that'd be such a good idea.
Right, right.
And then I said, on second thought, let's bury him next to Ronald Reagan because he's Ronald Reagan's creature. But things like what do you do with the body really do become a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you can't turn it, somebody somewhere would be willing to have a death orgy and scream death to America over it, and they'd have a body to use as a sock puppet. On the other hand, we can't take control of the body because we would outrage somebody over how we did or didn't do something. So, you know what? I used the Godfather analogy a minute ago, David.
Yeah.
Somewhere today, the president of Pakistan was delivered a big fish wrapped in butcher paper, and in whatever language they speak, they said, what that means is Osama bin Laden sleeps with the fishes.
Yeah. And I think it's really telling what Karzai was saying today. in Afghanistan regarding all of this.
What did he say?
He said, why are they in he basically said, why are they in Afghanistan again? You see? Bin Laden was in Pakistan. So, you know, he's basically putting it out there. Why the hell are they in Afghanistan?
You know what? Why the hell are we in Afghanistan? I'm not going to give Hamid Karzai, the former Unocal pipeline transaction executive, credit for that one, David. I've been asking that. You've been asking that. We've been asking that for years.
Right, right. And
can we start packing our bags now?
No.
Well, no. No, no. And one of the things that I did tweet last night was that if anybody thinks that this is the end of the war on terror, they are sadly mistaken and probably naive. The other thing I tweeted was that to wait for a line along the lines of, in the because Obama hadn't spoken yet, wait for a line something like, we are reminded that we must be ever vigilant in the war against terror. And you know what? There it was. Go get the transcript, David. Ever vigilant, or we must be vigilant, is right there. And what that is code. That's simply code for, we're not going anywhere.
Q White Stripe Seven Nation Army.
Bingo.
Yeah, you know, the whole thing about just everything happening right now, when the news came out that he was dead, I just had to add, and I spoke out loud, I said, allegedly. Because that's how cynical, and that's how, and that's how, I just don't, I don't, that's how untrustworthy I am regarding media, because I know how much stuff is riding on this. I know how much dollars is riding on this.
You've developed your cynicism at the speed at a much much greater speed. I used to think I was the head cynic around here.
I don't think so.
I'm willing to take them at their word. I'm willing to believe it's him and he's dead.
By the way, the ICE thing. I just want to clarify this so for people who know where this came from. That's straight. Alex Jones injected that today.
Oh yeah, I know. Alex Jones has gone wild. And that's why another thing I want to be careful of. Whenever those freaks are losing it, I'm pretty sure whatever they're losing it over is wrong, because you know, even a stopped clock is right twice a day, but they're a stopped clock with the hands removed. They're never right.
Yeah.
And so last night Michael Moore proposed the hashtag deathers, but anybody familiar with this show knows that they've been part of the litany of birthers, deathers, tenthers, fourteenthers, and booger eaters and baggers.
Yeah.
Well, because the deathers were the people who advocated the death panel, and we can't confuse our taxonomy of right-wing weirdos. No, I suggest that this latest group, the people who want to see the birth certificate, who want to see a digitally scanned proof. That's what Alex Jones said. We need to, the body should have been digitally scanned and provided. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Corpsers. So now it's birthers, deathers, tenthers, fourteenthers, baggers, corpsers, and booger eaters. That's the entire taxonomy of the right wing.
Well, the truth is, Bin Laden wasn't iced. He was actually put in carbonite. So.
Well, of course he was.
And I think he's on.
I mean, you can stay in carbonite for a million years, right?
I think so. And I think he's on the Bubba Fett's ship right now. So he's out of the galaxy, people. He's gone. The other thing about this is Al Qaeda. The phantom organization, whatever you want to call it, they can do right now. They don't have anything to lose, and they have a perfect excuse. And recruiting is going to be through the roof. And personally, when it comes to killing someone like this, I really hope they don't plan on. But they probably will, the same way that they're going to dispose of Gaddafi. No trial, just bring him.
Well, look, I mean, this is, again, you bring up a very valid point, David. This is all extrajudicial. Okay? And a discussion that the American people will never have is about this JSOC, the Joint Special Operations Command.
Yeah.
That's a scary bunch of dudes. Because, among other things, they answer to the president. The president says go do it, and they do it. If it ties into that declaration that was made early in the year that the president has the power to order the summary execution of Americans at will. Americans, you know, not just freaks sitting back eating pita chips in what's its a bod?
Yeah.
A totabod, a tatabod, whatever. But anybody. And and when he says take them out, the people that do it are the JSOC.
Right.
And when JSOC wants to take you out, they do. And that's anybody on the planet.
I think though that the biggest problem with what we are going to face now is we pretty much just shown our face once again to the Middle East of how we, I mean, they can just run the celebration in the streets video in their propaganda.
Right. It's a recruiting tool.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing is that everything that's happening right now, we need to have more of a critically thinking lens on it. And when I was watching how much the news coverage was just flooding out, I was like, I don't know if this is a smart, I know it's not a smart thing to announce to the world and just go nonstop, everywhere on every single channel. And, when there was really no news to be had, they just wanted to be the first in line, and they were drawing it out longer and longer and longer. I was listening to people on the radio today, colonels who were talking about the mission who didn't have any idea of the details. And I was just sitting there, and it's like, this to me is another sign of us seriously in decline if this is all we have to talk about, because we have problems in this country that concern us, and This is so minuscule.
But what if the enhancement to Barack Obama's credibility in the eyes of the American people is such that the only people left remaining are the who doubt this are the Alex Joneses and the corpsers in general. What if that becomes leverage, not for his reelection?
Yeah,
but for the nation to say that's the man who got Osama. Well, this is going to get difficult.
See, that's the other thing.
That's the man who got Osama. And you know what? I don't want my Medicare, my Medicaid, or my Social Security touched, MF-er. You know?
Well, you know, this is the other thing. The trip ups of this name. The fact that this name is so more relevant now. It's going to be so easy to do a GOP tricks maneuver.
Well, that's what that Fox affiliate did last night.
Yeah, yeah.
Obama bin Laden dead.
Yeah.
Now that could have been correctly stated. Obama : bin Laden dead, or it could have just been Osama bin Laden dead. But instead, Fox being Fox, it became Obama bin Laden dead.
The whole thing about this, and this is another problem with it, is I think the right wing already is controlling the message. I think it's pretty safe to say that the reason we found bin Laden is because of waterboarding.
That's already out there. I wonder how the liberals feel about a little torture now. But there's nothing that says that this was gained as a result of waterboarding.
But you know what you say, When the lies already heard around the world, when the truth is just about to get its pants on.
Right.
And you know, that's the issue. So basically, if whatever's out there now is pretty much the messaging, the standard narrative, and I don't think you can turn that back. Regarding the waterboarding, the torture, we found him because of that, and I mean, it just puts it in the spotlight.
No, that's we're better than torture. No, we're not. Look, we killed Bin Laden because we tortured some of them. That's already being put out there. Rumsfeld has already said that, David.
I hear what you're saying. And one last thing before I go, I did read this on Reddit and I found it funny. They said, now that was a mistake putting Bin Laden's body in the sea, because see, what's going to happen is his spirit is going to is going to rest in the sea, and an octopus is going to be possessed by Osama, and it's going to be Octosama. Now you have an evil octopus on your hands.
Well, you know, then at that point it's just a short little hop, skip, and a jump over to Cthulhu, and we're done.
But you know, here's the thing about it: maybe they can call in the Vatican JSOC team.
Oh, Jesus. You're bad. You're just bad.
I know, but you know what?
One moment of levity. You know what Donald T. Rump was tweeting today?
I can't wait for this.
Don't forget to watch Donald J. Trump's Fabulous World of Golf tonight at 9, Golf Channel. some right-winger, you know what? That damned Obama, you know what he did? He deliberately timed his announcement to preempt The Apprentice.
You know, that one last thing. The other thing is it's the acceleration now of having another 9/11, the momentum of it, is just, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it was within the next year or the year after that. I'd be kind of like, if it happened for 4 or 5 years from now, I'd be like, wow, it came late. I mean, that's how I see it.
Actually, you know, no major terrorist attacks were accomplished on Clinton's watch, with the exception of the coal and the Khobar towers, but nothing on American soil. They caught most of them. They caught them all, actually.
Free market.
Well, but the thing is, I don't expect an attack on Obama's watch, because frankly, we're competent at this stuff. Mm-hmm. Remember, it's hard to forget at this point. It's very very hard to forget that, and we must actively remember that George W. Bush was presented with a presidential daily briefing that said, Bin Laden determined to strike inside U.S. He was also presented early in his presidency, in those first couple of months, with the report of, I think it was Al Gore, and I can't remember who the other one was, saying that airport security was extremely lax and we could expect to reap dire consequences from it. Both of those things were shuffled off. Because... And this is not conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
George Bush desperately wanted a war with Iraq. And we forget what a deep psychological effect that had on him. That's why he tried to kill my daddy. I'm the one going to kill my daddy. I've been wanting to kill my daddy since I figured out... you can just call me Edip. Yeah, I'm that feller that wanted to kill his daddy and do his mommy.
Yeah.
I mean... There really was a desire to get something cooking with Iraq. I refer again to, I can't remember the name of the book. It's about, it follows a member of the cadet class at West Point through his final year. And that was the year Paul Wolfowitz gave the commencement address. It was June 7th of 2001. When he said, I can't tell you what's going to happen, but something big is going to happen, and all I can tell you is, be ready.
Well, I think what the Republicans are betting on is I bring myself back to this this analogy about the juggling the Pandora's boxes. They just keep handing Obama more and more Pandora's boxes and say, here, take this one. Now juggle it faster. And that's why I think a terrorist attack is bound to happen, because we can only dodge so many. And the rage factor that's come out of this with killing bin Laden, the retribution and the adrenaline and all of that that's tied to it, it's just, I don't know, but I don't think you can close this Pandora's box now. You announced to the world you killed the guy. He's, you know, I was listening to some people, Warhawk, regarding this, and they said, well, we stopped him from being a martyr, and she was really defiant about it. I was like, wow, you really think that?
Well, you never stop that, because that's not in the hands of the corpse. That's in the hands of whoever wants to use the corpse. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean, and I really think right now this is a really, really sketchy. It's one of those times where you just see an ominous question mark and you think.
Well, I think there's 1,000 question marks that go with all of this.
Oh, I'm with you there. I'm with you there.
But you know, the one question mark that doesn't exist in my mind is what happens next. You know, one New York City firefighter was questioned about it, and he said, I hope this is just the beginning of the end of the quagmire in Afghanistan.
Wow.
But the sad thing is, no one, no one can realistically think that it is, who fully understands the nature of empire. I mean, but the right-wing paranoia is so deep and so thick, it's absolutely stunning. One right-wing nut has declared that the college kids who turned up outside the White House last night were part of an AstroTurf conspiracy.
Yeah.
Just when you thought you'd seen, check this out. Just when you thought you'd seen everything, leftists chanted 4 more years and yes we can outside the White House after Osama bin Laden's death was announced. College kids in front of the White House are chanting yes we can, according to a beaming CNN reporter. Funny, they didn't get this excited when al-Zarqawi was killed. Does anyone out there actually believe this was completely spontaneous and not planned by the left?
It was George Soros.
But of course it was spontaneous. There was a dude in a Spider-Man suit out there. Captain America was there.
That was Soros' color of change and move on. Open your eyes, Bob.
Ah, damn, you're one step ahead of me. These people are, they're lunatics.
I couldn't agree more. And
I mean, how sad has it gotten in America when the single most bloodthirsty, war-loving segment of our population can't quite bring themselves to celebrate some bloodshed? You know, because that one did it.
But before I go, I do think that was not a coincidence that they cut to the commercial during The Apprentice. I think they did that on purpose, and I think it's pretty funny.
Oh, well, I would so like to be spending tonight talking about the correspondence dinner, or what was referred to on Twitter as nerd prom.
Yeah.
That was delightfully good fun. And I guess that there's one screen cap of, or frame capture, whatever, of Barack Obama precisely at the moment when Seth Meyers was telling a bin Laden joke. And he is laughing fit to split his seams.
Hmm.
And so, you know, if only I could tell you. Oh, yo. But it hadn't been done yet. But he knew what was coming. It was, there's some real cool on that guy.
What happens next week?
Stay
tuned.
Tune in next week for all the as the JSOC turns.
We need some Batman theme music. That's what we need. And some spinning logos.
David, have a good night, brother.
All right, later.
Later. Onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, you know, I was going to send you an email last night, and I something told me, said, don't send this email to Bob, because I said he's going to take it the wrong way.
What was I going to take the wrong way, Gary?
No, I think because the way it would have sounded like I was actually celebrating, and I don't celebrate anybody's death personally, because I'm a Christian, I just don't believe in that. But, I mean, even though he was a very, you know, obviously a despicable person and a murderer, I mean, I don't see why anybody should be out in the street jumping down. If anything, it should, this is a, that whole scenario to me, this whole scenario, this whole thing is a symbol of American failure. It's not something we should be celebrating. You know what I mean? I mean, so, you know, Bush failure, just...
Yeah, this is something that should have happened somewhere around maybe, April of 2002. But it couldn't happen. I mean, remember, Gary, the Bush administration deliberately let him get away at Tora Bora. And that was before George started his war in Iraq. He intimately needed Osama bin Laden. He had to have him.
That was war crime number three, letting him get away. War crime number one was not paying attention enough or stepping aside to let the first thing happen. So, I mean, you know, Bush, I mean, to me, this whole thing just shows you what it's about. And see, this is the reason why I really, I mentioned this a couple months ago when I called, you know, we talked about it. I said, this whole thing is in Pakistan. This whole thing is about Pakistan. And that's where the head of this thing is. Afghanistan is just the offshoot from where all of those rebels and other, other Taliban and other people are trying to reform themselves. But the Taliban was ready to give up bin Laden a long time ago, you know, even before they came into Afghanistan.
Bingo. Remember when they offered to send him to The Hague?
Mm-hmm.
And Bush said, get her alive.
They wanted the military. No, we don't want to put him into international court and whatever this and this. No. We want our form of justice, you know. So, yeah, exactly. So he went into Afghanistan and we know what that was about. It's about that pipeline. I mean, that's what the Afghan war about. I mean, everybody keeps talking about this other stuff, but it's about the pipeline. Pick up a map, said it last week, say it again, look at the pipe. It's all about that pipeline.
Yeah, I remember the before we ever got going real good, you could find maps of that pipeline. And it was not, as I mentioned it just a few minutes ago, Gary, it was not lost on me that Hamid Karzai was an acquisitions guy in South Asia for UNICAL.
Exactly. When Dick Cheney came into office, all he had under his arm were blueprints. Cutting up the Iraq oil, and he was cutting up, he's trying to figure out how these pipelines work.
Maps.
Exactly. And then he went into Iraq, and then I guess Hussein, who's very smart from what I understand, some stuff I've read, they took all of those, oil fields or whatever. They blew up and they basically destroyed all the blueprints and stuff. So they didn't even know, how the pipes and stuff run because they had destroyed them. So when they went in there, they had a whole big issue with that. So it's like, that set them back too, Cause you remember when they said protect the oil fields. That was the first assignment for the troops.
Yeah.
They didn't tell them go in and protect the people. They didn't even say, go get the museum. They said, we got to get to the oil fields because they're going to, they're going to tear up, they're going to destroy the blueprints. They knew what was going on, and it's always the same with these people. I mean, any building, when you go in there, if you want to go over and take over a country, you better know what them damn blueprints are. You better know how the whole thing functions and runs if you're going to try to rebuild the country from scrap. If not, you're going to be rebuilding the country from scrap. So it was really about getting those blueprints initially when they went into Iraq so they could take it over, and it's... this whole thing with the bin Laden was just an excuse. I mean, we all know this. We've gone over this 1,000 times, but, it's really a failure, and we should not be celebrating tonight. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, but again, I cut college kids a lot of slack because I was one once. And I too, there's a whole bunch of people drinking beer down at the White House. Well, let me, You got the car tonight, man?
By the White House. Hello. Man, there's a bunch of bars around there, you know, GWs right there.
Well, you know, like I said, I saw that photograph of Penn State University, and they were losing their minds.
You saw the ball game? They were like chanting USA, USA.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody surprised? I mean, come on, we're talking about 19, 20, and 21 year olds.
Yeah, but I think it's still to the core of this country. It's like we celebrate violence so much. I mean, you know, and look, I'm gonna be, you know, I'm not necessarily a peacenik. Necessarily, I think there's a time for war.
Yeah, but remember that classic photograph, Gary, of the sailor kissing the woman in Times Square at the end of World War II.
Yeah, exactly.
People are human. They do tend to do these things, and you cut them some slack. Now, if they were still partying, maybe not. Okay, guys, time to go home.
I'm talking about after 9/11, though. Right after.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And Bush up there with his bullhorn. And I was thinking to myself, I knew right then, and you said what you said earlier was exactly my thinking. I was like, you know, the old thing is a Christian. There's a time to turn your cheek. There's a time to throw a punch, but there's a time to turn your cheek. I said, we should be extending not a gun toward the world, but a flower. And in the, but on the front hand, but in the back hand, we need to have some Navy SEALs and some, you know, and that's all we need. We don't need.
Yeah, you got the daisy in one hand and a roll of quarters in the fist in the other, right? Yeah.
Exactly. We didn't have to go out and start a whole war, global war on terror. This whole, you either with us or against us.
Well, did you notice the decision?
In gray is against us.
did you notice?
I don't even know what happened.
Did you notice the decision making process that was described? They offered Obama a chance to simply bomb the compound. And he said no. He said, you know, one, if bin Laden's in there, we'll never be able to prove it. And two, there will be too much loss of innocent life.
Yeah. Well, they had to do a DNA match because they have, one of his sisters died and she had brain cancer. And they had the DNA samples of her cancer. So they knew if they got the body, they could, you know, do a quick match.
Right.
It's not like, you know, 1990s when, you know, it would take you 48 hours to get a DNA match. Now with technology, they can do it almost within an hour. So that was one way, you know, that they was able to identify the body. Just, you know, at least, you know, just looking at those strands and seeing how they match up. And if, you know, if you get a 50% match, it's more than likely it'll tell you that that's his brother. You know, I'm telling you, his first brother or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's why they really confirmed it. So, I mean, I'm going to say this too. People can take this how they want, but I think people on the right are going to do what they're going to do. But some of the people on the left, I know there's some people on the left don't like Obama, no matter what he does, for whatever reason. And they're going to start jumping into conspiracy theories. I think sometimes, like I said last week, we got to start taking some things at face value. There are times for conspiracy.
Well,
I believe they got him this time.
I simply do not believe that he was on ICE. I mean, I used to crack a lot of jokes about, you know, I know where Osama bin Laden is. He's in George Bush's basement playing pool with Saddam Hussein out in Crawford. But that's, you know, that's me being a smart aleck.
I mean, there'll be times for us to criticize Obama, of course, as we know, will come up. But I think this time we should just, as you know, people are, you know, I won't say on our side, but Americans or whatever, from all evidence, it looks like he did this right. And I really want to
say... Well, and the thing is, you know, that's why I said a little bit ago, Gary, that there's a profound sense of cool at work here, because that man stood in front of a room full of journalists Saturday night and said, I'm glad we got the birth certificate behind us. Now Donald can go on to working on the big stuff, like whether we faked the moon landing, what really happened in Roswell, and where are Tupac and Biggie?
Yeah. I mean, he was so cool. Like you said, if he had a poker face, he sure played it, because he didn't have that distant look, like, you know, when you remember George Bush, deer in the headlights when 9/11 happened.
Yeah,
you know, you remember that. You know, he was reading and he just had that look like, oh snap. Like you said, you know, President Obama's sitting there cool, like, hey man, we're just about to get the most wanted fugitive in. You know, and they probably had enough evidence to feel he's strong. He probably felt strong that he was there. They didn't know he was going to get him, but I think they pretty much knew where he was at that point.
You know, I would like to put out a little memo to the military industrial complex, though, if you don't mind, Gary.
Yeah.
Can you dummies please make a helicopter that will actually work during a critical mission? You know, that thing almost went completely sideways. They had to blow up the helicopter and bring in the backup helicopter.
Yeah, it makes me wonder about Black Hawk Down during Clinton. You know, we have a helicopter problem. I don't know what's up, why they can't make a helicopter. All the money we're giving these, you know, these defense contractors. But like you said, you know, it's I said let's get a president credit for once and say, okay, he did a great job. And to say, you know, and look at the other side. If he had been president maybe a couple of years ago, maybe we wouldn't have, you know, maybe we wouldn't be in some of these other wars. Just maybe. And maybe now, you know, because I did get a chance to glance at Bob Woodward's book. Maybe this gives Obama now the leverage, because, you know, he's to really push back now against the military and say, look, this Afghanistan thing got to get reconfigured. You know, when, you know, and maybe now, you know, maybe there's some hope on the rise. And I don't want to be cynical.
More than anything else, Gary, the thing that I want out of this is, okay, can we learn from this? You do not start an entire war, because I come back to what you said. The Taliban was willing to hand him over to The Hague, just not us, and that wasn't good enough for George. That wasn't good enough.
How many lives would we lose just in the operation? Americans.
God Almighty! Killed and wounded. We're up north of 40,000 people.
No. I'm saying on Sunday when they captured Osama bin Laden, how many people Americans died?
None.
When they caught him.
None.
Okay, none. How many Americans have died so far because of Bush 2 wars?
North of 40,000, and that doesn't count the ones that are. Who may have their minds turned sideways by things like traumatic brain injury or simple PTSD, if you can call that simple.
How many civilians were killed?
More than a million.
How many yesterday? One? Maybe one?
Two? Three? Four. Two. I think four.
Two, three, maybe.
Three guys and the woman that was allegedly used as a human shield.
Sounds like to me this is what we should have done in the beginning.
Yeah. If in fact you want... Now, I got to tell you, Gary, one word that was used bothered me. And it bothers me for etymological reasons. It bothers me for philosophical reasons. And that was when President Obama suggested that justice had been done. Justice was not done. At least not as the United States defines justice. Justice is done in the United States when a person is afforded the rights that are due to an accused under the Constitution of this nation. It's more like something out of Dune. You know, all the rights of Con Lee have been observed. This was not justice. Unless we have gotten to a point where the United States has devolved into full-on Wild West mentality, where justice is done by a posse who rides off carrying rope. That's not justice, you know, not at all. Vendetta,
I mean,
certainly.
I kind of
revenge, absolutely.
Yeah, I can kind of see what you're saying, but you know, like I said before, it's a situation where it's like time and judgment. You just have to make a discernment. I mean, if he was not going to come out alive, and they felt that, you know, there was some risk to the...
No. I'm not criticizing any of that. But I'm saying let's not have the American people confused that somehow justice was done, because it wasn't. Because if justice was done, there would have been a judge, a jury, a prosecutor, a defense counsel. The accused would have been allowed to confront his accusers.
Yeah, but that's impossible. They're dead.
And
I mean, the people, the victims, and you know, people who he killed. I mean, that's
I understand where you're going with it. The confrontation clause speaks to the accuser as being, you know, the person bringing the charge. It doesn't mean the dead guy. Otherwise, we could never prosecute a murder. One of the things that does bother me is that I fully expect, if it hasn't already, that the 9/11 truther crowd is going to go wild. Well, see, we couldn't try him because, well, we couldn't produce any evidence against him. Bob,
Yeah, but I mean, it's the same thing with this. I mean, technically, I can argue, again, this whole thing about ink and paper. I mean, this is real time. This is real life. And, you know, what was written in the Constitution or written in anything is based on an ideal situation. But as we all know, sometimes
they... No, actually, it's not based on an ideal situation, Gary, because we certainly afforded justice to everybody except Hitler. In the Nazi regime, we gave him a nice, fair trial, and then we hanged him. With the exception of Goering, who killed himself.
But if you have a hostage taker or somebody, you say, look, come out, we got you surrounded, and person comes out shooting, aren't you authorized to kill that person?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That would still be justice.
No, that's not justice. That is not justice. That's law enforcement. In that case, but it is not justice. Justice is a very clearly defined concept within our constitutional framework model.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, but I think that I hear what you're saying, but I think there's also a broader framework of what people conceptualize justice as.
Well, no, what I think it boils down to is Obama, it doesn't scan in the speech to say revenge has been done this day. Because for all whether or not it's true, or when they say it, the American people like to talk about our Constitution, but we don't like to do the hard work that it imposes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yesterday, I mean, that technically wasn't constitutional. I mean, you're on a sovereign in another nation on their sovereign soil, and you're imposing your will on somebody who's not, like you just said, not necessarily have been brought to trial to justice. But that being said, there's also, everybody knows that in the Constitution, one thing that will trump it is if someone deems that the protection of the American people is at stake, that always, as America's always shown, that they're going to trump the Constitution every time, either whether it be the Patriot Act or whatever. I mean, that always seems to be the mantra of the president.
Well, that's because of the evolution of the national
people.
That's because of the evolution of the national security state. That started under Truman and has persisted ever since. So-called national security is the trump card. God, I hate that word now. To every constitutional complaint that the government can bring it to bear in. You know, remember the guy who wanted to who helped bring suit against AT&T. For being stool pigeons for the government on domestic spying? Well, that got rousted out of court on a government claim of national security. Even though the government listening in to old Aunt Gertrude's recipe for brownies has no bearing on national security, telling the world that we were willing to spy on our own people somehow did.
Well, I can see both sides of the argument. I can see your side of the argument. I can also see the other side of the argument, because like I said, there probably are going to be times and situations where something that's in pen and ink cannot solve the equation that needs, the equation that needs to be made to solve a problem at the current time, because whoever wrote the Constitution wrote it as a certain limited amount of time and a certain limited point of view. So, I mean, so I can see both sides to that argument. So I think it's a gray area. I'm not going to really try to argue.
Well, no, I'm not.
That will go on forever and ever.
No. Gary, I'm not saying that, I'm not passing judgment on the act itself. I'm just simply saying that whatever it was not justice as
it was not justice as
our Constitution defines justice.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you on that. But I'm just saying, I think there's a broader sense.
You know, because not to bring up any overt creepiness, but if that was justice, then I guess so was what was done to those people in the compound in Waco. And I'm not one of those people who thinks that David Koresh was anything special. Not at all. But you can't confuse justice with retribution. There's the word that should have been used, not revenge. Retribution has been exacted this day. There we go. Hey, Gary, great conversation, my friend.
Okay, man.
Take care now. Couple of emails, and then I go next. Lines opening up if you want to get in on the conversation, by the way. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333. Tonight is a night for, this is one of those nights that defines what we had in mind when we designed, implemented, and created Conversation Radio. So if you want to be part of the conversation, jump right in. Joe Ray dropping an email along. He says, I guess I'm one of those that will not be happy with the president when they fail to do the right thing. On Osama, I thought he was already dead. Guess it doesn't matter since he's officially dead now. The question is, what will Obama do with this political capital? He can A, use it to end the two illegal wars we are in, or B, use it to expand the war into Pakistan. This would be a nice place to occupy if you don't like Iran. I guess there's an option C, do nothing. Us peons will have to wait and see. Actually, I'll offer you option D, and I mentioned it a few minutes ago. If he uses the political capital gained by this to shut the GOP the hell up and stop this foolishness of talking about giving Granny a voucher for her cancer, that would be an appropriate use of the political capital as well. If he uses it to actually... But look, JSOC's funding and budgeting used to be in danger. It ain't anymore. That's the other side of this sword, is that any military Pentagon budget cutting is going to be made all the more difficult by this moment. So, place your bets, you know. No, the right thing to do is to end the two illegal wars. Expanding the war into Pakistan just gives me the horrors. But remember, didn't these helicopters take off from a base, a secret base, in Pakistan? Just asking. Onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Yeah, I'll go with C. I think that, he can go ahead and expand that war in Pakistan. Because the thing is, you have to wonder why the hell they're in Afghanistan. Oh, oops. I guess it wasn't to get bin Laden now if the guy was living in a mansion in a suburb of Islamabad. But
yeah, and let's just say that over and over again, Sandra. You know, not in a cave.
Well, and it's just sort of, it's stunning and really horrifying to me to think about just the sheer death and destruction going on for those poor people in Afghanistan. But I'm beyond cynical. I don't see them as using, I was fooled by Obama with the financial crisis. I thought, oh, great, he can come in and use this opportunity to reinstate Glass-Steagall, right, the third leg of the New Deal back. But as we see, that didn't happen, so I'm done with that. But looking at the geopolitical, this is, at the end of the day, it's a big deal here, but from what I can tell from my little tweet from the Middle East, it's not that big of a big news. I mean, he's not as huge as people may think anymore, you know?
Well, right. They're still running the same file footage from 1995, you know, with him kneeling with the AK-47 and stuff.
Right, and it's just kind of, I think that, it plays well in this country, obviously, because of the idiocracy. I mean, I was like looking at those people chanting and just shaking my head thinking, oh, dear God. You know, just because, the celebration flashed to in the 40s, and anytime, some end came to one of our sort of war stands, people wanted it over. They're celebrating that it's over. But I don't know what the hell that was last night. That was really disturbing.
Well, it sure wasn't celebrating that it's over.
Well, no, and it's just sort of wallowing in the death, and it's just kind of like, ew. So, yeah, I find the whole thing disturbing, to say the least. And I'm not very hopeful just because of the, we've been decoupled, not only economically, but I would say we've always been decoupled foreign policy-wise in this country. But I think it's really bad now because he just started a war in Libya. This ain't going to end it. You see what I'm saying? This little action here. Okay, so bin Laden is gone. I mean, I don't know. I'm not seeing this as being some dramatic shift in our foreign policy. I mean, Hillary already said the wars won't end. I mean, those are her words.
Yeah.
The wars will continue or something like that, but war was in there and continuing was the main gist of it. So, and I have to agree with you, and I have the tweets and stuff, because I have my little tweets going too, but yeah, I mean, the horror of this global war on terror on the rest of the world, no disrespect to the 3,000 in New York, but hello? I mean, tens and tens of thousands of people have been behind this shit, and it wasn't done by, you know, Muslims, sorry, it was by us.
Yeah. And hence the necessity, of course, for Obama last night to have the sentence in it. This is not and never has been a war against Islam. Well, you know, when you're blowing up a Muslim wedding party, you can say that all you want to, but when you're burying the dead, I imagine it sure feels like one, don't you?
Well, and it's just kind of, I mean, I'm sorry. And don't, you know, they're coming out hard and fast with the, oh, we still have some sort of relationship with Pakistan, and, oh, they didn't know what was going on. Oh, please, you know, please, please, please. I know there's some gullible people who believe that shit, but I'm not one of them, because you don't have a mansion right in the middle of a military zone that was built in 2004 and it's holding been locked. Hello? Come on, Val.
No, this is
you know, and it's just kind of like it's a safe house, and I just want to know who decided to put him under the bus now. That's the thing.
Somebody, yeah, you mean somebody dropped the dime?
Well, yeah, and they, no, in Pakistan, the establishment decided whatever, it's time for this to turn a page. I'm just, you know, and don't forget the meeting that they had with Karzai. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of big game chess going on here.
Why is it with all of this, Sandra, that I can't get mob movies out of my head? Because all of a sudden, I'm thinking of what was it? Casino.
Casino. That's one of my movies.
Yeah, you know, at the very end when Joe Pesci walks into the empty room and goes, "Oh no!"
Right.
You know, he's going to be a made man. Oh no.
Yeah. No, you really need to stop. That shit is horrible, but it's true, and it's all just sort of gangster, you know, and I mean, I'm not going to really, you know, I'm not going to go into one criticizing Obama. It's just, you know, he is just, is cool, but he's as lethal as fuck, from what I can tell.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know,
dude.
I mean, well, okay, let's go back and have a little fun, Sandra. That thing Saturday night?
Whatever, yes. I mean,
That was revenge is a dish best served cold. Here is your frozen hamburger, Donald.
Yeah, no, Donald was like a plaything. For real, though.
He was sitting there, huh, you know, smiling, happy. Sucker didn't know the shiv was in him till it was 6 inches deep.
Whatever. I mean, once again, you know, the dude was born with $400 million. You see what I'm saying? So I'm well past the rich being considered bright. You understand what I'm saying? He just got played.
Well, that's why during the royal wedding I kept tweeting that wonderful Monty Python clip of upper class twit of the year.
Shit, you killed me with that, because I looked at that, I thought, damn, you did not. That was great. And it was perfect because, you know, there ain't no brain trust going on there, all right?
No.
What the hell is Harry? That. You know what I'm saying? No.
Mummy, may I wear the Nazi uniform this evening?
Right. Okay, so no. We are all about, I forget what writer, he said they just squelched out of the right womb. I mean, that term just had me. I can't remember the writer. I have to give him credit. Oh, my God. But anyway, that was hilarious. And I'm thinking, you know, Donald Trump is another one of them squelchers. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, he's waking the neighbors now. Oh, well, he's
right. And so he's just got, you know, the thing that really betrayed his complete idiocy is the fact he couldn't laugh at himself.
No.
On top of it all.
No.
He's just like, dude, you're fucked, you know, and you need to just, he was so angry. And it was just like, okay, you kidding me? So the world they occupy, he needs to step right back in it.
I mean, you know what? Yeah, and because he's been playing all the right songs for the knuckle walking, yeah, all of that crowd. There's always an element of religiosity and piety involved with that. When the Washington Post, Sandra, invites you to sit at their table at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, the first thing a redneck like me would do would be to grab the Bible off the shelf, flip it open to Psalm 23. Let's see, what is that? There's something about a table in it. Oh, yeah, there it is. Thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over.
You'd be going the opposite. Yeah.
I got to do my. You know, he's the one man in America who could claim I can't come. I've got to do my hair that night.
Right. No. I mean, it was just beyond. It's like, really? What time do you think it is? So yeah, once again, that just proved to me that these rich people are most of them are like hella, whatever.
Stupid.
And it's kind of like, dude, because he got, that whole that was really funny. But in the meanwhile, though, you know, the president is unleashing his I can kill whoever I want around the world with his own Praetorian Guard.
That's what that's what I was alluding to, Sandra. That's what JSOC is, for the love of God.
Right. And it's sort of, once again, I need to make sure I'm not going after Obama, the office. Let's just stick with that. But he's a cool, scary-ass customer who I remember reading a while back. He really enjoys being president. So I kept that in mind as I sort of look at him and how he's operating. And I'm thinking, we got 400 years.
How?
Might take the whole country down.
You know what? You know, that shot always has that long view of the president walking up to the podium. But there's a corner he turns back there. And, I would give anything for the handy cam shot of him after he turned the corner. Doing the little victory dance and the eat it and smile, Donald, and because you know at somebody, some wise ass tweeted as this was all going on last night, I feel sorry for Michelle. # killed a terrorist sex.
You know what? That's jacked up. Oh, dear God, I don't even want to know. See, that's wrong. That's real wrong.
But, oh, baby, come here.
But, God knows. You see what I'm saying? Because, I don't know. It's just, it's so many ways of looking at it because, once again, we're not looking at some fucking Bush or some other over-entitled prick in the White House. See, this is a whole new paradigm we got going on. So I'm scared.
Well, is there any chance, you started out, Sandra, saying I'll take option C. Is there any chance that he'll, to our discredit, and to our credit, we kept sitting around saying, I need for him to be an angry black man once in a while.
No.
And he turned out to be a cross between Chris Rock and Richard Pryor.
I'm eating my hat, and now I'm scared. Trust me.
Yeah.
I am scared. I'm like, wow. I'm scared of you. Okay, basically.
Did Boner say anything today, or did he wake up with a horse's head in his bed?
Listen, all these white assholes, them men are scared as fuck. Let's be honest, Bob, because of their own little issues. I know they're tripping, and that Shelby couldn't even give credit to the man. I'm like,
crooked mouthed little comb over bastard.
Yeah, and so, they're disgusting, and me as like a black person, I'm schizophrenic in the best of times, but this man is sending me straight to the crazy house. I'm gone.
Do not pass go.
And I just it's whatever, but I am disturbed by how Americans are acting. It's like, wow, it's scary. The celebration of death. This is so gruesome.
Well, I like my end zone celebration analogy, Sandra. Act like you've been there. This is, yeah, I mean, if this is what we do, let's act like this is what we do. You know, don't F with us. And we will, you know, we're so cool that we won't even party in the streets after we did it.
Well, it really was sort of just rank amateur hour, if you want to keep it in this mode, and really disturbingly detached, you know, with no analytical skills whatsoever. How are you going to equate this with a USA? It's just like, oh, no.
Yeah, because...
I was mortified.
Yeah, because there's no difference between a grave international incident and a freaking hockey match.
Well, yeah, and, I don't know. I'm not, you know, I don't really know. All I know is all the warmongers are coming out of the woodwork because Netanyahu, we got to get Iran speech again today. And it's just like, keep your eye on that Negro, Netanyahu, because that fool may drop a bomb any second now.
Yeah, full on crazy.
I don't trust he crazy. And see, with Obama sending, you know, death squads around the world, he may take a page. You understand? I'm scared of the Israelis. They crazy too.
But the funny thing is, this was a page we took from the Israelis, wasn't it?
Who was saying? Somebody was saying that this was looking hella Roman. He was looking like the last Caesar up there talking.
Yeah, I mean, you know, got to give it up. That may have been, I mean, that was his finest hour thus far, and it was quite possibly his best oratory.
Well, but it wasn't that presidential, though. That's the thing. It was scary.
No, it was business. I mean, there we are again. You know, tell Osama I always liked him. It was only business.
Oh, God. Yeah, now you got me thinking about the whole foot. I have this face.
There's Osama in the damn rowboat saying Hail Marys to get a fish.
Listen, those are my movies. Oh, my God. They're so, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I suppose I don't really mean to make light of it because I am a bit worried about just sort of the what David was talking about, too. The sort of, wow, is there some huge other event around the corner here, you know?
Well, but when you live in empire, Sandra, if you're paying attention, you always live waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Exactly.
Because the empire always has another shoe.
Well, then don't forget the sort of brutal attack that went down in Tripoli. I'm not finding that entertaining either. Oh, we're gonna kill little kids now and people's children.
Well, wasn't nothing new in that. We offed Gaddafi's the daughter at the age of three in the cradle.
No, I mean this is, you know, I'm like, what in the world? Just horrible, terrible. And in the meanwhile, I'll let you go on any of other people, but didn't the media, weren't they disgusting? They just had an orgy.
Please tell me somebody has to have seen John King besides me.
No, I saw the tweets, and there was like four different people who were tweeting about this fool drunk. I don't have TV, so I didn't look at it, or I didn't even look it up.
I mean,
it sounded funny.
He was one shot away from Lampshadeville. I'm not kidding.
He was lit, huh?
Oh, I mean, he was Jimmy Buffett, the God's own drunk and a fearless man. I looked at that bear and he looked at me and I was a lot drunker than that bear was and it hung him up.
No, because when I saw the one tweet, I was laughing. Then it was like all these different people, so I thought, damn, that dude must be sore back. What about old fat-ass Rush? What's he saying?
You know, I haven't. I've been watching Media Matters all day long, and I haven't seen it yet, and I haven't gotten an alert from them, and I'm on their little email list. Mm-hmm. But I know, Glenn Beck had an on-air aneurysm. Something about burying him at sea was, you know, it was Muslim. Oh, wait. Limbaugh. it just went away. Limbaugh, if Obama was a shoe-in for re-election, Bin Laden would be alive today. I don't really know what that means.
Oh, gee. Well, I mean, you know, I was sort of thinking, at least last night, I thought, well, I don't know, this might be a hard election for Obama to lose. But that is a good point about what George, the first George Bush did. I mean, he had 90% approval rating, and then all of a sudden his ass was defeated. But is it the same amount of time, though? I mean, Obama's looking at just a year, right? Or
yeah,
a year and a few, year and a half, I guess.
And the other thing I absolutely adore is you can always predict what the right wing's going to do. And there it was. Well, that's just Barack Obama for you. He made that speech all about himself. Huh?
What?
Who? What? No, they did that. They did that.
But you had Boehner talking, thanking George Bush in his comments.
Well, and Cantor, and right. You know, as crazy as that damn Peter King is, apparently it was too fresh for him not to get the memo, because he got up and said, he came on CNN or one of them and straight up said, I give Barack Obama all the credit on this.
Oh, so he got off the crazy train for a minute?
Yeah. Well, but then again, maybe he didn't, because, you know, this involved the killing of a little handful of Muslims. So, you know, Peter King was all over that. That's four less Muslims to subject us to Sharia law.
Well, no, but the thing is, and I'll go get off, but I really do have to go back to Obama's speech. Like you had mentioned, this death and destruction and all the murdering and the drones, and they turn around and he says, oh, but we're not at war with Islam. I'm like, dude, you see what I mean? The language is killing me. It's just like, no, no, no. I don't know. I guess he thinks that the public here buys that, but what about the world?
But if there's a poster child for this just general shittiness, it's a neck and neck competition between Rick Frothy Mixture Santorum and Joe Scarborough. Did you see or hear the Scarborough thing?
Well, no, vaguely. What did he say?
Lucky you, I have the clip.
Okay, please.
I think Republicans should stand up and certainly salute Barack Obama for making some very tough choices that his own base did not want him to make. That takes courage. That takes leadership. And we saw the results of that courage and leadership saying no to his own base yesterday. Decisions that he probably did not believe as a candidate he would ever have to make, but he made them. And that speaks volumes about the leader. Going against his own ideological leanings to do what he believes he has to do.
I mean, honestly.
The base?
Yeah.
What does the base have to do with it?
Well, I thought that was the literal translation of Al-Qaeda, the base.
exactly. Listen, this phone's about to go dead, so I gotta let you go.
All right. Take care, Sandra.
All right.
Bye now. Jesus. No, really. Making some very tough choices that his own base did not want him to make. That takes courage. We saw the results of that courage and leadership saying no to his own base yesterday. He probably did not believe as a candidate he didn't think he'd have to make decisions like that, going against his own ideological leanings to do what he... Because, you know, we all know that every morning, the President of the United States gets up, his wife, Michelle, picks up the tambourine and the kazoo, and Barack Obama picks up the ukulele, and they start their day by singing a rousing chorus of Kumbaya. That's why all the troops are out of Afghanistan and Iraq, and we took a powder on escalating a war in Libya. Oh, wait, we didn't. You know what I mean? Yeah. Back to the phones in a minute. Line's open if you want to jump in. This is Conversation Radio at its very finest tonight. It's 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333. Let's take a quick run through the mailbag real quick. Corey in Louisville says, I'll tell you how I feel. September 11th happened right at the start of my senior year of high school, and I pretty much figured that the relative peace that we had had for my previous 17 years would not be coming back anytime soon, if ever. I would argue that it was this man who made the world turn for the worse, because it was his actions that caused the idiot, illegal, illegitimate commander-in-chief to have an excuse to cause the death, destruction, and transfer of power in this country to go blissfully unnoticed in broad daylight. My generation's future essentially ended on that day. Am I really angry at bin Laden for causing the deaths of 3,000 innocent people, including Muslims, in this country? You're damned right I am. Am I glad he's dead? You're damned right I am. He was a very bad individual, just like Saddam Hussein, and I'm glad he's dead too. But do I celebrate his death? No! I don't celebrate death. I don't celebrate death of my own country's enemies. I can only celebrate that the world is just a little less dangerous and a little more secure. But like I was telling some co-workers when the news was breaking, know what the death of Osama bin Laden changes? Not a goddamn thing. Speaking on your football analogy, how many football players do you know that when they cross the goal line, toss the ball to the official and jog off to the sidelines versus how many try to one-up the other players every game, even during the same game? I bet for every professional you could name five horses' asses. Take note of who is being professional about this mission being accomplished and who is being a horse's ass. I'm sure you could figure out which is which. I think we're kind of in the process of doing that. By the way, John Fox just let me know, tribute to troops to be live streamed tonight by Sarah Palin. I guess somebody read Keith Olbermann's commentary over at his website who said, and Sarah Palin, whose career mercifully ended tonight, ... which is true. David in South Carolina with a couple of observations. I just got pissed at the steady parade of Bush officials, apologists, along with the blabberheads who kept bringing Bush up for starting the war on terror and comparing this bin Laden mission to the Saddam Hussein capture. It was obvious that they were being careful to draw their false equivalencies. This went on all night long. Faye Townsend is CNN's security analyst. They also put Andrew Card on and quoted Condoleezza Rice. And it will be a long, long time, if ever, that the true details of this mission are revealed. By the way, it's who started the rallies outside the White House. And Acorn organized the events in front of the White House. You know they did, along with help from Planned Parenthood and NPR. Don't forget Jeremiah Wright, David. Come on, get with the program, brother. Clayton writing in says, thousands of students swimming in the nude in Mirror Lake last midnight. Any excuse to get naked. Clayton understands the college student dynamic. Marty wants Sandra to know he'll save her a room at Napa State. William, I have to say one thing. What was the immediate rush? If they knew bin Laden was in this certain place, then why not surround it and cut off their supplies and then arrest bin Laden? They seemed to know he was there before they swooped in, didn't they? I just personally don't feel this was the proper way to do this. I understand what William is saying. The problem is, once you've cut off supplies, you know, they don't have telephones and they don't have internet. They probably got electricity, but once you start cutting stuff off, they know he's there. And this is, after all, Pakistan, and this was a safe house. This was a place where he was kept as a sort of a compromise, I guess an internal compromise in Pakistan. To the extent that if they turned him over to America, well, if they turned him over to the United States, there would be outrage in the streets. If they kept him and nothing and everything went quiet, they could have some relative peace. Of course, we took option C, and God only knows how that will come out. Let's see, continuing on. Ray, Mary's better half. While Obama's day in the springtime sun warms my heart, I'm sure the repigs will find comfort in James Carville's immortal words, "It's the economy, stupid." Who we, you know? Yeah. So let's see. Let's keep it rolling. No reason to stop the carnival. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, Tony?
Good. Pretty crazy 24 hours, isn't it?
You know what? It's been a hell of a weekend.
Wow. I mean, I was sitting in front of my TV last night about 7:30. My wife was on the computer, and she said, hey, guess what? I went, what? She told me, I went, if for real, she goes, turn on the news. CNN, because you can't go to Fox, right? So I went to CNN, and biggest crap there was. And the thing that really made me upset was the fact that Fox never even showed the crowd in front of the White House.
Oh, no, no, no.
Once he killed the crowd.
No.
I mean, it was... I thought, I don't know. They have no shame whatsoever. You know what I mean?
None. None.
And I dropped in on Hannity for a little while, but
oh, that had... Oh, you took one for the team? That had to be fun.
Dude, he didn't...
Orbiting his own private planet, isn't he?
He had Rumsfeld on. And it was all George Bush's policies. If it was George Bush's policies, why did he... Here's the mistake Bush made. They knew he was in Pakistan, but Bush wouldn't put troops on the border.
Well, no, they had him at Tora Bora, Tony. Really?
Yeah, they had him. Yeah, I know that. They had him. But here's the thing. When he took his eye off the ball and he went to Iraq, think about this for a second. If he had did what Obama did now, this thing would have been over 7 years ago. Because I can't, maybe you can help me with this. I can't phrase it right. He had him there. They were closing up. They could have closed the hole, and eventually you'd have done what Obama did. But instead of doing that, he took his eye off the ball, went into Iraq, and all of this hell broke loose because he could have done what Obama did, and he didn't. And then Obama didn't stand up there in front on a battleship and say, mission accomplished. He was so cool and smooth when he walked up there. He was so understated that, I mean, he just made Bush look like an idiot. But getting back to Sean, Sean was beside himself, Bob. I mean, you couldn't believe it.
Oh, yeah, well, actually, I could, because he's a petty, vindictive little American piss. You know, it's all about the Republican Party for Sean Hannity. The good of the American people means something less, something mathematically less than nothing, Tony. And by the way, you know, I'm still not fully convinced. After all, you got to remember, Osama bin Laden was shot in the face. That makes me wonder if maybe the bionic Cheney was involved in the JSOC operation. Has anybody seen him?
The thing about it is, he is dead, hopefully, if everything goes right. Obama did it the way Clinton did it. He treated it like a police action. He voted against the war. I have so many mixed emotions because, like, all these, like, for example, remember when John McCain said he knew where Osama was and if he got elected, he would go after him?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Where is he? I mean, if he knew where he was, nobody ever asked him to help us find him.
Well, no, see, what it was, yeah, McCain said, well, I know where he is and how to do it. McCain finally gave up the information.
He did?
No, I'm kidding.
I was hoping you would. And so let me get this straight. Sarah Palin's going to have a troop thing tonight?
Yeah. Palin, tribute to troops to be live-streamed tonight.
That woman has no shame. She'll hold herself up.
A message. John is signed up on Team Sarah, and I get these every now and then. And you know, John receives these things, and then immediately has to do something to cleanse his brain. Team Sarah, American values in action. A message to all members of Team Sarah. Team. According to information from the Sarah PAC website, Governor Palin's half governor, sort of governor, quit Governor Palin's tribute to troops will be live streamed starting 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Proceeds from tonight's event will support TAPS, Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors. Live stream information here.
That woman has no shame. She really just has no shame. You know, all these people are riding his back. You know, they're riding up Obama's coattails. And, you know, where do we go from here? What do you think is going to happen next? I mean, is everyone going to...
No, there's no happen next, Tony. There's no happen next. It's status quo. It keeps going. Nothing changes. We are at war with the world.
Yeah, you're right about that.
You know, we offed Gaddafi's grandchildren over the weekend.
Yeah, you're right about that. You should have heard the Texas Oxford this morning. He was just going out of his mind. Everything's a conspiracy, obviously, and he was demanding this and demanding that, and it was these guys, they don't know what to do. They're just running around with their heads cut off. And like I said before, Fox was the worst. The fact that they didn't show the crowd, it was just, I mean, I don't watch that show, period, but I flipped over just to see what was going on. Those people, they just, nobody can be right 24/7. It's just physically impossible or socially impossible. And these people, they can't do it. They can't thank the guy. You know, it's just really sad. I mean, he walked, I don't know how you feel about everything that's happened, but I felt he looked presidential, didn't you?
Yeah, he did. I mean, that, no, I'm with Sandra on this. He was cool to the point of being frightening.
That is one smooth brother. I mean, he walked up there and he just, I wish he would, how do you like me now? You know what I'm saying? Like that scene from,
Well, have you seen the little photo that's going around now? Ben Birch sent it to me earlier today, and I gotta admit, I laughed. It was funny. It's a photo, you know, with like those, the law, you know, the lolcats, you know, with that kind of print on it. And, it says, let me find it here. Where'd it go? There it is. Yeah. No, hold on. We'll get there. There it is. Yeah, it's just a photo that says, it's a picture of Obama grinning with his dark glasses on, pointing at somebody. Sorry it took so long to get you a copy of my birth certificate. I was too busy killing Osama bin Laden.
Oh, which reminds me, when they were doing that thing for the media, he knew what was going on then. He knew everything that was in motion, and you could even tell that this was going to happen. I mean, that is...
And that's why that screenshot that I mentioned in conversation is so interesting, because it is a screenshot, it's a photograph of President Obama precisely at the moment that probably Seth Meyers is telling some sort of bin Laden joke, and he is coming unglued. He looks like he's going to blast out of his suit. He's laughing so hard.
The thing about it is, the brother's cool, because he knew, you know, that was on his mind right then, and he just picked it up and played with it.
Right, and hence the Roswell remark and the moon landing remark and the Tupac and Biggie remark, because he knew that by Monday morning the right wing was going to be going absolutely bananas, screaming for proof, bring me the head of Osama bin Laden, you know?
How funny is it that he interrupted the apprentice with the news?
Well, see, the right wing is losing its mind over that. That was deliberate!
I mean,
yeah, they timed an entire international, incredibly complex operation so that the word of it would be deliverable precisely in time for the President of the United States to preempt a reality show.
Did you love Trump sitting there eating crow when Seth went after him?
Oh, you know what the funniest line of the night was? And it went by me the first time through. Only caught it on the second pass and about pissed myself.
Yeah.
It was when he said, he was ribbing Obama, and he said, "Dude, look at your hair. If your hair gets any whiter, the Tea Party will endorse it." And that was a great line, but what came after was the one that just put me on the ground, because it was just delivered as a throwaway, and I'm a little bit of a student of comedy. I'm no good at it, but I'm a student of it.
Refresh my memory.
He took about a two count, wait, beat, and then he just sort of mumbled, "Oh, man, 19 years from now, I'm going to get a really cranky voicemail from Jenny Thomas." And then when that one finally landed on me, I went, "Whoa!"
Wow. They buried him. Well, not buried him. They put him in the ocean. At first, I was like, did they handle him the way they should have from the Islamic faith? But I mean, really, if you think about it, where could they put him? What country would take him? They couldn't bury him in a plot somewhere, because people would probably...
Well, and they really did make an effort to observe Muslim custom. And get him dealt with within 24 hours.
Well, what I'm saying is, where could really, where on any on dry ground anywhere hard could they really put them? Because I mean, if it would become for those crazies, it would become a shrine. So they really couldn't bury them. And what country were taken?
Right.
Other than Saudi.
So we let the loons worship the ocean.
Yeah, basically. Anyway, it's been a lot to take in, and I've been watching the news a lot. It almost seems like the boogeyman's gone, and it's going to be interesting to see how the Republicans handle this, because the one thing that they always could grab on was, you know, bring the guy's name up. And I wonder what Giuliani's thinking now. I mean, there goes his election right out the window, because he's got nothing to grab on. So he's done.
No. Don't do that. Don't do that. American politics is a brutal-ass game. And you know, remember, George H.W. Bush, like I said, had ratings in the 90s.
Yeah, but I think about. I was listening to Stephanie Miller today, and she was playing clips from Bush. And when you hear him say, you know, I really don't know where it is, and then I just don't spend that much time on him, you know. And you see what happened now, and you're like, you know what? You're right. He didn't spend any time on him. I mean, it was just like, I'll say this before and I'll say it again. I believe that if he had done what Obama did by handling it like a police action, he went into Pakistan, he kept cutting the ground. Yeah, it took 4 or 5 years, but you know what? We got him. And I don't like the fact that anybody died. I wish they could have captured him alive and put him on trial. But there's nothing you can do about that now. But, I mean, you got to give Obama his props. He came out looking pretty good last night. I don't like the war. I don't like what's going on. I wish we could have put him on trial, but you know, you got to give him big ups for this. He did a pretty good job on that one.
Well, it was coolly and competently done. And that's why I don't understand people partying in the streets.
You know, I had kind of mixed emotions about that, too. Part of me was, like I said, it would have been great if we went on trial. I'm not happy over somebody's death, and I'm not relieved. Unfortunately, it was something that had to be done, but I wasn't too sure about. Oh, I know when it's celebrating with bad people. When some girl climbed up on the light post and flashed her chest, then it became, okay, now it's silly.
Yeah, so but it's college kids.
Yeah, I understand it's college kids, but that's when it became, okay, now this is just a big flip.
Hey, do we get a fresh Bourdain tonight?
Actually, I think they're reruns.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, which reminds me, did you see the Tokyo one?
The which one?
The last week, the Tokyo one before the earthquake?
No.
Oh, you didn't see it? It's gonna be replayed tonight at 6 o'clock. Okay?
Okay.
The one they did it before the earthquake. It's about a week or two before the earthquake. And they make a disclaimer. You may wanna TiVo the 5 and 6 o'clock one. I'm not sure which one it is, but if you have a TiVo all of them, because they're all of them in a row. And the Japan one's coming out, I believe, at 5 or 6 o'clock, so you may want to TiVo them, okay?
Okay, cool. Tony, good talking to you, brother.
See you, Bob.
All right, later. And email from our buddy John earlier today. What a wonderful day. I suppose we'll be pulling out of Iraq and Afghanistan by tea time, right? Right? Yeah, John knew the answer. John knew the answer. We ain't pulling out of nothing. Because that's not what... that's not what empires do. Oh, Sandra's found another clip. I'll have to put this in the chat room. Obama... this one's video. It's not just a still. Obama saying he's dead and kicking the door down. Oh, mercy. I love it when I get caught mid-show. That's precious. That's just precious. Let's see. Onward. Nope. Okay. Nope. Nope. Here we are. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob Kincaid, it's your Marine Corps buddy down here in Florida, Mark.
Mark, what's going on, my friend?
Hey, I'm so proud of you, Bob. I love listening to your show because you cover so many things that an old Marine like me keeps getting educated by those that are more educated than himself. So how are you doing, Bob? Okay?
I'm doing pretty good. I don't know what I did tonight, but I appreciate the compliment.
Well, it's what you do all the time, and I mean that. You're a very smart man, and you're a gift. So I don't listen to Rush Limbaugh, but there's a couple comments that callers have made tonight that I'd just like for them to be cleared up about.
Okay.
One is we all have peace in our hearts. Most good Americans do. But there was no way, if I understood correctly, just caught on CNN that there were three regiments, very aggressive, like Palace Guard regiments, right within a few miles of that location. I think they have their intelligence school and also kind of like their officers training academy.
They're West Point.
Yeah, they're West Point, right, Bob?
Yeah. And so, you know, when you hear details like that, Mark, you understand that he didn't just slip in there under cover of darkness.
Yeah, right. I think he was on our payroll. A couple of years ago, we were given Musharraf. It seemed publicly they were announcing some really huge numbers going to Pakistan. I guess the resources in Southwest Asia must be worth it. But of course, I don't see it that way. Having been an enlisted Marine, I don't think there's one Marine worth dying for a pile of rocks that if you buff them up, they'll shine. But
what did Bismarck say? Talking about he said. He said, the whole of the Balkans is not worth the blood of one Pomeranian guard.
Well,
I think you're saying the same thing.
Yeah, and I take it that was what at the turn of the century, Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When the Balkans were to Imperial Germany as big a pain in the ass as the Middle East and Southwest Asia are to us.
Right, and quite coincidentally, I had to put down my rifle and put down my pistol and put down my combat engineer equipment and just walk away from the Marines after my daughter was born because I didn't want her growing up without a father. You know, I came back to Illinois and I saw Alice Chalmers gone. I saw Caterpillar leaving. Saw Farm Supply downgrade, and I saw Sangamo Electric kicking it down a notch. I saw on coffee makers starting to be made in China. And I saw the middle class of my country dissolving before my very eyes. And I thought, what are we, and here you've got two Indian billionaires knocking off the tops of West Virginia mountains. I tried to send you an email the other night, Bob, from my job at the nuclear power plant concerning it's a North Carolina-based magazine.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that, yes.
Were you familiar with that already, or
no? I wasn't.
Well, it's funny because it seems like your message is getting out rather well, one way or another. It's starting to matriculate its way out there.
And that is due to a lot of heroic people, and I do not list myself among them. People like Judy Bonds and Bo Webb and Maria Gonneau and Chuck Nelson. And many others whose names we don't have time to list have worked tirelessly for over a decade, traveling and talking to anybody who will listen to them, begging them to please stop what's being done to Appalachia. And it's worn them out. It's exhausted them. But they recognize, it's not something they're doing for themselves, Mark. They're doing that because it has impact on all of us.
Well, everybody, all around the world, actually, and starting with your own backyard, that observation, though, there's nothing more dedicated than a small group of people that are dedicated, and that small group of people, especially when they're conducting themselves in a positive way, are going to get, probably positive results. They just have to say. Locked in together. There's another group, Bob, I don't know if you're familiar with, is the School of America's Watch with Father Roy.
Oh, yes.
And kind of a similar argument, not similar argument, but a similar up against the corporate-controlled media Could I just get back to the Bin Laden thing, Bob, real quick?
Sure, absolutely.
The other thing, there were two observations I wanted to address was the the fact that those sailors jumped right literally in the backyard of a military industrial complex. So that mission, they know they've only got so much time on. It's just like robbing a bank. If you're not out of a bank in a certain period of time, statistically, your odds of surviving that bank robbery go way down. Same with what they've done. And the other thing is, I've lost my point with the second one, but I did accidentally listen to Rush Limbaugh, and he made two comments that I thought were so sad. I talked about Joint Special Operations Command and how they were the folks responsible. And I listened very closely to the way he described it, and I could tell he didn't know what the hell he was talking about. Not that I had anything to do with it, but I was putting in my fitness reports requesting to go to JSOC as a U.S. Marine, and I was in counterintelligence for about my last about 18 months in the Marine Corps, and because I'd worked on embassy duty and I'd learned to speak Spanish, and I was actually hell of an athletic Marine and looked the part and sounded the part, so I actually had to write a paper, Bob, and get interviewed and then take tests and then the whole procedure was a constant test. And we were kind of like the poor man's intelligence network on the ground. You get the high-paid guys out of there when it gets really hot. But I think they have some door-kicker, trigger-puller type operatives now with the CIA. There are actually a lot of former military, probably officers, if I were to guess. But the thing that Rush Limbaugh said is he said that was just a mud hut. And, right before I left for work tonight, if you look at CNN, that's anything but a mud hut.
That's a mud hut with 18-foot high walls, and I've never seen many of them, and barbed wire on the top.
Right, and it's two steel rolling door gates to come in, the two or three story complex, and then it had 8-foot, walls on the second story or something, so you couldn't see in or shoot out or shoot through or something, I imagine. The opaque glass windows.
Yeah, that was attacked. That was, I think, you may say that I'm right. That was a building designed for tactical purposes and not aesthetic ones.
I would agree. And actually, if what you're referring to, what we've already discussed, but also the fact there's no goddamn windows primarily in it. And where they were kind of precluded from, seeing in and not out type thing, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it wasn't. Well, look, they didn't. It's Pakistan. It's not the end of the world. They've got trash pickup there because they got a bunch of retired colonels and generals and that live all around that compound. And every Monday morning, they put their garbage out, and the garbage truck comes by and picks it up. Except that place where they burned all trash. You know, I guess it was sort of glowing in the dark on its own just by the way that it was being handled.
Yeah, it was just almost like a flashing neon sign, and just on CNN they're showing there's golf courses for those officers, and then someone made a comment about if we knew that if he was there so long ago, why didn't we just cut off the power? And that's you could do that in the United States where even when your cell phone's hung up, they know where that cell phone is by a ping or whatever the hell it is. I mean, in an industrialized, a more advanced society, you really cannot hide. Even if you're like the guys that broke out of the prison out west and robbed the sports authority and dyed their hair blonde. I mean, you're not going to be hiding for long in America. But I don't mean to sound mean to the listeners, but I don't know what else to call them, but the domestic American, the untraveled, we say in the Marine Corps, indigenous personnel, the local native, it's really not gotten out and seen a little bit. That is a million-dollar complex in Pakistan, and it was a fortified bunker. Who's to say what the goddamn walls are made out of as well? There might have been strong rooms in there, and you're not going to cut them off with power because if you were to wait and make that an occurrence.
No, they got generators.
They've got generators, and they've got those, they're surrounded by military people. It's basically, we basically almost conducted a mission, like just short of going into a North Korea and getting somebody and getting out. It's that, it can be that intense in Pakistan. So I would just beg the listeners to give President Obama a little more benefit of the doubt on that. And also I would just share, with my short affiliation, with requesting to go to JSOC, JSOC was basically created by Elliot Abrams, under President Carter. And for those who don't know, Charles Beckwith, who's from Plains, Georgia, led the Iran rescue mission. And President Carter would not say this, but it's not beyond a reach for me as a former Marine and a strong Democrat to think that somehow the Republicans breached that operation. President Carter, you know, we live in a nation, Bob, where, you know, here's Jimmy Carter, whose mom treated Indians and who grew up, you know, with black children. In South Georgia, with no hatred in his heart, goes to the United States Naval Academy, gets a degree in physics, two things that most Americans don't even know where the hell it is or what the hell physics are, and we don't know as a people the difference between President Carter and Rush Limbaugh. And then they wonder why the economy's broken. But it gets back to that billboard or the sign that they're carrying, you know, keep your government hands off my Medicare check. I mean, that's just how out of touch. It's just really,
it's an absolute disconnect, and you know what you said about Carter is very true. I mean, we know that the Reagan campaign deliberately sabotaged the attempt to get the hostages released. Why not? Because the one thing that I think we have to bear in mind, Mark, is that the Republican Party, as it is presently constituted in these United States, it constitutes an entire fifth column within the country, and you know what that term means. I'm not kidding. I mean, I sat through the Bush years. I listened to right wingers call me un-American. I listened to them say that, you know, liberals were communists. They're still doing it today. But the fact of the matter is, it's classic Freudian or maybe Jungian transference. These people are criticizing in us what they most readily recognize in themselves, because the Republican Party would sell out America for a nickel laying on the ground. They really would. And the truth of that is finally out. I mean, if it ever wasn't, the truth of it is once and for all out in broad daylight right now, today, here and now, in the way they're responding to this, between demanding that they be shown the corpse, between demanding that due deference be given to George W. Bush, who didn't have the stones to mount an operation like this. No, they're all out in the open. They didn't want bin Laden caught. They wanted a reason for perpetual war, for perpetual profit.
I totally agree 110%, Bob. They talk about the security of this mission and how, you know, we Americans didn't know, and thank goodness, and really, really important stuff, it seems like, in general, we don't know until it's already occurring or after the fact, for the most part. And there's a lot of details still yet to come out, but it's bizarre to me that Republicans think that the Republicans are all about the war capacity. You know, Ronald Reagan was president when my Marines got hit in Beirut, and all Ronald Reagan did was take a few months to load up the Navy and what was left of my Marines and fucking leave. And then George Bush gets 4,000 civilians killed to go down and get Manuel Noriega down in Panama, and Noriega was on the payroll of George Bush's last position was a CIA director. I mean, they put Noriega in power. The same with Saddam Hussein. So I don't understand how the right wingers think that Republicans, and then having been a Marine, if you were a PFC, which I was over in Okinawa in 1977, they said, Hankins, it's your job tonight to be Corporal of the Guard. And when you're Corporal of the Guard for a barracks or a company or for a battalion or a regiment, you're the goddamn Corporal of the Guard, and what you say goes. You don't go around giving people a hard time, but you have the authority of the commanding officer. And there is a commanding officer represented by a lieutenant, usually a second or first lieutenant, and they represent the full bird colonel. And whatever happens while you're on duty, regardless of what rank, when you're on duty, you are responsible for anything that happens in a combat zone or in a peacetime barracks position. Now, here's President George Bush on 9/11, was president for 9 months, and we get attacked, and somehow he's good on terrorism. He should be prosecuted for negligence. And here's President Obama, just like they're doing with Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security, we've got to go around and clean up their messes that they created intentionally. Here he is killing, we had to kill Gaddafi's 25-year-old son that the glorious Ronald Reagan killed 25 years ago but didn't kill. And we just continually clean up their messes, all for profit and greed. And those son of a bitches kill for power. They killed Bobby Kennedy. They killed Martin Luther King. They killed John F. Kennedy. They killed Malcolm X. They killed Medgar Evers. And they killed thousands of people, just like you and me, Bob, to keep our goddamn mouth shut. And I'm not keeping my goddamn mouth shut. And Reagan let Beirut happen. And George Bush's grandfather financed fucking Adolf Hitler. And I'm going to keep storming and stomping on these son of a bitches until I break every one of their goddamn necks or die trying. And I'm a trained Marine for all you right-wingers listening to this. So bring your nappy little punk asses out of the fucking Salt Lake City airport and quit picking up men and the shitters, because you're all faggots. I'm going to break all your goddamn fucking necks. So that's a goddamn Marine Democrat that won goddamn World War II. When we fight wars, we don't goddamn lose them because people like Bob Kincaid and Mark Hankins fight the goddamn wars because we love each other. You motherfuckers are there for some nefarious reason. Bob Kincaid, I love you. I'm a goddamn Buffalo Soldier with you, brother. There isn't anything you've ever said that I don't agree with. You're just so goddamn smart, I keep learning from you.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Very kind.
God bless you.
You take care.
Bye.
You too.
Bye, Devil Dog.
Bye now. I will take that as a badge of honor. I wish I had half the courage Mark has shown over the course of his existence. Let's see. I want to do something right now. By the way, big props coming in for Mark. He just lit up the chat room like a Christmas tree. And word coming in from Jan. You go, Mark. And I understand the frustration that Mark just gave some life and breath to. I was being a smartass when I suggested that Osama bin Laden be buried next to Ronald Reagan, but there's no more fitting place on planet Earth to put him. Ronald Reagan called the Mujahideen, of which Osama bin Laden was a part, an integral part, freedom fighters, and compared them to the people who fought the American Revolution. Just let that rattle around in your noggin for a little bit. And then this. Then this. Mark mentioned Flush Flimball. Sorry, we gotta do this. This is disgusting.
Obama last night on television announcing his single-handed involvement in securing the death of Osama bin Laden.
You lying sack of dung. I sat there and watched the speech, didn't you? The address? At what point did he say he single-handedly did it? At no point. He specifically put all the focus on the victims of September the 11th, and all the focus on the people who had accomplished the mission. Now, I'm nonviolent. I really am. I don't like war. But I also acknowledge what it is to live in empire, and this is what empires do. And if the only two choices are send in SEAL Team 6, kill 3, get the job done, and go about your business versus lose in excess of 40,000 killed and wounded over the course of a damn decade, I'll take option A. Option A is what we should have done in the first damn place. If you are unwilling to accept the tender, the proffer of Osama bin Laden to The Hague, God, that's what it's been for me the last 19, 20 hours, is just this inexorable wave of grief and anguish rolling over me for all the wasted life. wasted American lives, wasted Iraqi lives, wasted Afghan and Pakistani lives, wasted lives, wasted human lives. Because you can say Pakistani, Afghanistani, Iraqi, American, British, French, Italian all day long, but you know what? It doesn't matter on the chromosomal level. Skin color doesn't matter. Hair color, eye color doesn't matter. We're all just folks. Just monkeys dancing around the monolith with the bloody bone. Right? Right.
We know that it was Obama who called off the bombing, insisted on the special forces. In fact, it was Obama who assembled the team. He said so. My three of the most used words in President Obama's media appearance last night. Not a single intelligence advisor, not a single national security advisor.
Do you hear what passes for professional broadcasting? That is fact-free radio. And because his little knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing acolytes take every word that drips from his syphilitic lips as gospel truth, he doesn't need to back anything up with facts. Because they'll just believe them because he's America. My friends, I am America's truth detector. Ah! I got more. I got something from a cat named Bill Cunningham. David in Tennessee took one for the team last night. Now, I don't want you to listen to this for content. But I want you to take, and just this evening alone, just for the last hour, for the last 2 hours and 34 minutes, just take what you've heard and compare it with this. This is Bill Cunningham on a 50,000-watt clear channel, not the broadcast company, that's a broadcast technological term, 50,000-watt clear channel blowtorch that during the Second World War could be heard in England. And this is what gets put on it.
Frank, I monitored more of the news organization accounts. They're saying Navy SEALs did this with four helicopters, that one helicopter was lost of the four, but no U.S. service personnel, no Navy SEALs were killed. That a woman was used as a shield by Osama bin Laden, and she was killed. Obama was killed. One of his wives was killed.
Oops. Did you hear that? Did you hear the little Freudian slip? The wishful thinking? The sly framing? Oh, that was just a slip of the tongue.
Bin Laden, and she was killed. Obama was killed. One of his wives was killed.
That must have happened 24 times last night. Watching the Wingnut feed on Twitter. One creep from Nevada did it. They did it on Fox. This Cunningham bastard does it.
Several of his couriers were killed. In fact, ABC News reported as many as 14 people.
He never even noticed that he said Obama. He didn't self-correct. You know, it's happened a couple of times tonight on the program, and there's always been a self-correct. Well, you only self-correct if you think you made a mistake. This guy meant to.
May have been killed in a 40-minute firefight that resulted in no American deaths. Injuries, not so sure, but no American deaths. And that they left the compound, which was a $1 million compound with few windows, no telephone.
God damn, a Republican can't get past the price tag, can he? $1 million compound!
No television. It looked that he burned trash. It was under surveillance for several weeks before the Navy SEALs launched in four helicopters. A tremendous, great military success that began under Bush and culminated under Obama. I can see it now. When Obama runs for re-election, it'll be Obama got Osama. And Obama sees this.
You know why he could see it? Because he was watching the Twitter feed, too, and that turned into a hashtag almost instantaneously. Obama got Osama. Notice how he didn't have any trouble with Obama got Osama, but earlier Obama was killed? Dr. Freud, courtesy phone, Dr. Freud.
As it should, as a great military victory, and Times Square is filled with people tonight, thousands outside the White House, America's heart is filled with joy. 44 minutes after the hour, Billy Cunningham, live with you every Sunday night.
No, maybe this is a different Cunningham. Maybe this is a local down Nash Vegas way. Jesus. So let's come back from the break real quick.
ABC News has a video of the compound itself on fire tonight. And really tonight, in Pakistan, it's 8:48 a.m. It's morning. But they have video, it's dark, it's at night, with the compound itself on fire, a multi-million-dollar compound specific...
By God, it went up in value during the break.
...built to house Osama bin Laden. And about 25 Navy SEALs and four helicopters took him down with seemingly few bodyguards around him. You would think Osama bin Laden would have 25 to 50 bodyguards all around him. There is some...
And thus begins the corpserism.
In the range of 10 to 15 dead, including women, used as shields by Osama bin Laden, who would not be taken alive. But the compound itself, according to ABC News, was built specifically to house, maybe by Osama bin Laden himself, because the walls were 12 to 18 feet tall. Access was strictly restricted. There were few windows in the compound, no telephone, and no television, and had its own power.
Yeah, no, I stand corrected. Corey just wrote in and said, I heard this guy here in Louisville once. Know what his tagline is? Bill Cunningham for the common man. Common man? Yeah, maybe if we were all oatmeal dribbling teabag and morans. This is the Moran Monday portion of the program, by the way. And, Corey says, by the way, that's the same guy who broadcast out of 700 WLW, the 50,000-watt blowtorch out of Cincinnati. So I was right the first time. Jeebus. Well, I want to go back to the phones, but let's just take a little, let's just skip through the blather for a minute and see what happens next.
Serve the vital.
Oh, boy, we've got a wingnut caller. Now, remember, we're comparing this. This is professional broadcasting on a 50,000-watt blowtorch. Of the what do we call it there? Cincinnati, Covington, something. Blowtorchville. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so they're going to go to the phones.
Connected to the Pakistani government or the Pakistani military. This is unbelievable. More to come. Let's continue with your reaction. 1-866-647-7337. Roger in Pennsylvania. Welcome to the Bill Cunningham Show. Roger, how are you?
Yes, thanks, Bill. You know, just as Jesus admonished us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves and not to be saps and knuckleheads for Jesus who fall for simplistic reductionisms, and since only a true strict constructionist constitutionalists can indulge equal opportunity truth-seeking, we should demand independent forensics to verify that the corpse of Osama hasn't
corpse,
been
sir.
Frozen for the last 4 or 5 years, where he served the vital villain Goldstein function, as in Orwell's 1984.
Now, Roger, hold on.
Uh-huh.
You cannot seriously maintain a thought that somehow the corpse of Osama bin Laden's been frozen somewhere?
Well, it's also just as we should have demanded independent, impeccable witness confirmation of the death of Timothy McVeigh, and we should still demand release of George Bush's military records where he could...
That's it. Let's continue. Good Lord.
There you go. Professional broadcasting from the right wing. So dadgum weird that even Bill Cunningham couldn't tolerate it. Oh, Margaret. To the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Jethro.
It's madness, I tell you.
All along the watchtower, man.
Where do you start? I'm going to try out some of that simplistic reductionism there that guy was talking about before he was cut off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Simplistic reductionism. I guess that would be cutting out a lot of the wheat, you know, separating the wheat from the chaff, as it were. Yeah, so the question you have to ask yourself is, why now?
I'm going to apply Occam's razor to this. Why now? Because that's when the information was there.
Yeah, why not now? As exceptional Americans, we're starved for a win, for some kind of good news on the war front.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. Do I think that this won't be used for political benefit? I know it'll be used for political benefit. That's the nature of politics, isn't it?
Oh yeah. Yeah, and of course the rumor is that, you know, Bin Laden, you know, had kidney failure and all this stuff, and that he's either been provided a dialysis machine or whatever, or he has been dead for a long time. So, and this whole deal is fishy, you know. Yeah, we went in, we got him, we shot him twice in the head, and of course he, you know, he used women as shields. Of course, they had to get that in there. That's a propaganda coup as well. But then they take pictures. Take him out to sea, dump him. Case closed.
Well,
is that? I mean,
what do you want done with the body?
Don't know. I mean, it could have been anyone, right?
I mean, if you don't want to expose yourself to, if you don't want to charges of Islamic impiety by not having him something done with the body in 24 hours, you got a problem.
Yeah, I mean, so why now? Because, you know, because of the rumor that one of the cabinet chiefs in Pakistan, had, you know, is trying to persuade the Pakistani government to go with China. Is it the fact that we might, it's either a stalemate or a loss in Afghanistan, and you know, we're trying to get out.
Or maybe because, I'm a cynic, Jethro. I don't believe we're ever leaving Afghanistan, and I don't believe we're ever actually fully leaving Iraq.
Well, and to me, something else that ties into this, you know, that they have to talk Leon Panetta out of heading to CIA and go to the Pentagon, and then take Petraeus, who's in charge of Afghanistan, and suddenly he's the head of the CIA. Then, less than a week later, we got Bin Laden. Something seems like some of that stuff is tying in, and I don't know what the deal is. There has to be some kind of motive behind it. Where are we? Are we in that big of a trouble over there, or, you know, did we really get him? Who knows? You know, but.
Well, I mean, who knows? my best, the members of that JSOC team.
Yeah, and it's a double gut punch. Or even further below the belt punch to the Republicans, because you add the birther issue to the Bin Laden, and you know, cha-ching, you've got re-election, 212.
Yeah.
And you have...
Well, I think, but bear in mind, Jethro, that I have been all along firmly of the opinion that Barack Obama would be re-elected in 2012 any way you slice it, simply because the Republicans want him reelected in 2012. Just like the Republicans wanted Bill Clinton reelected in 1996. That's why they ran Bob Dole. They'll run somebody equally miserable against Obama in 2012, because it's going to take that long to put the money back in the Treasury so that they can come and steal us blind again in 2016 like they did in 2000.
I hear you.
So, yeah. So, you know, I'm constantly conflicted, you know, when I see remarks by people like Eric Leave Britney Alone Cantor and these other right-wing jackasses talking about, well, you know, this was George Bush's policy. Oh, it was all about Bush. Because I wonder if I'm actually seeing their true sentiment, or if they're merely playing a part in a kabuki pageant that we're watching but don't realize it's like something like Plato's cave, you know. We don't know we're watching stuff like that, but we're actually just watching images and shadows.
Right.
But that's one of the curses also, Jethro, of living in the national security state.
Right. But it seems a little fishy, too. I mean, there's a million-dollar compound that sticks out like a sore thumb with no security. And, but the four helicopters are easily flown in. One of them doesn't have enough air inside the compound. It goes down, allegedly, and they have to blow it up. It doesn't add up to me. It sounds like another, I don't know, it just sounds like it's something that was manufactured, and having Petraeus leave as commander-in-chief there in Afghanistan and being the head of the CIA, somehow that's tying in. I can't pull it all together, but that's just not a good feeling.
Well, because the original mission, this is the way that I've sort of worked things out in my own head, Jethro. Because the initial mission stunk to high heaven, everything that flows from it is sort of infected by the, it becomes a fruit of the poisonous tree kind of thing. And by that I mean that because we were lied to so many times in the origins of both Iraq and Afghanistan, because the truth has never been known about the motivations and the decision process, because there was so much just absolute crap flung against the wall as a reason to have a war, any war, gotta have a war. Everything that happens subsequent to it becomes subject to question.
Yeah. Okay, so we get out of Afghanistan, maybe on some pretense, but what's going to slow down the military-industrial complex?
Nothing. Nothing.
Petraeus, are we going to start going covert assassination death squads? Third world, or?
Well, you know, we are technically legal. The president is technically legally precluded from ordering the assassination of any head of state. Of course, Bin Laden was a non-state actor.
Yeah, but we're trying to kill Gaddafi. I mean, you know, they've bombed his compound numerous times and got his children and stuff. And, you know, it's a target or something. We're not really trying to get him. We're trying desperately to get him.
But the double-edged sword that flows with all of this is that it's going to be, because did you notice? Now, if you want to really indulge a little bit of suspicion, here's where I do it. In the midst of all of this budget debate, Jethro, there's been a lot of talk about we need to, you know, we can't just do balance the books on the back of the poor and the elderly. That everything's got to be on the table. And there's been some pushback, but there's also been a lot of discussion about, well, the Pentagon's got to be on the table too. Well, guess what ain't on the table anymore?
Pentagon.
Yeah, and I don't drop that ball in Barack Obama's lap.
Mm-hmm. And of course they can use this now to say, hey, now they're saying there was a doomsday pact, and if Bin Laden was killed, they were going to detonate a nuclear device somewhere, and the second in command is still out there, and yada yada. But then you turn around and read some factual material, and there might be 200 or 300 Al Qaeda members, and the others, the splinter groups over in Yemen and stuff, those are just private groups that have kind of loosely taken that name.
Well, right, yeah. I mean, it's not like you've got to pay a franchise like you do to get a McDonald's.
Yeah, but
you can be Al Qaeda of Yemen, you can be Al Qaeda of Libya, you can be Al Qaeda of Lebanon, and you don't have to send in box tops or anything. You just say you are, and bang, you are.
Yeah. Well, we want to portray them to portray them as some worldwide, like Smursh in the Bond thing, some worldwide organization that's mysterious and powerful and.
Yeah, or what was it? Chaos in Get Smart.
Right. So.
But the nice thing is, it appears from the sort of bloodless. And I don't mean the actual shooting part of it, but the sort of cool, bloodless way that Obama handled it, it would appear that we have gone from Maxwell Smart to James Bond.
Right, right. It was a coup. I mean, you know, he busted him, Trump signed in with the birth certificate thing, and now he's got the other Republicans that who said he was weak, he's not a leader, he's spineless, yada, yada, yada. Now that's shut them up, so he's, he is ace on the political moves, but I wish he would, at least help the poor people. I'm thinking he's, you know, like Dr. Cornell West, he's, you know, he's a, he has sold out, so.
Well, you know, I every now and then I indulge it. I don't let it out very often. Don't even take it for a walk. But every now and then I take my optimism out and just sort of look at it and then put it away. You'd like to think that there is, I mean, look at the celebrations in the street. I believe they were spontaneous. I question the morality of them. But by the same token, polling numbers are going to show that Barack Obama has gotten a bounce.
Oh, yeah. Couch burning in Morgantown, actually.
Well, see, I wondered. That's how my sad little mind works. I wondered how many couches are going up in Morgantown tonight.
Oh, yeah. They get away with it, too. So, also, well, something else is going up. Have you been discussing anything? You know, the reactors 1, 2, and 3, maybe 4, have melted down.
Yeah, 5 and 6 are next.
So.
Yeah, oh, it's a mess. But no, what I was going to say earlier is, you know, my optimism is going, hey, Bob, maybe he'll use the political capital to shut up all of this nonsense about kicking Granny out in the street with a voucher.
Mm-hmm. Well, one can hope. And he has gained some capital and stuff here, and of course, they're saying this is the long form birth certificate is a fake, but I think that has been squashed. And but they'll come up with something crazy.
But the thing is, if Barack Obama and you know, he made a joke about it the other night at the dinner by showing a clip from the early part of The Lion King, you know, where the lifts the little baby lion up and the sun and clouds part and everything,
right?
And as his official birth video, if they had had 8mm black and white grainy footage of him being born and emerging from his mother's womb, people like Donald Trump would have sworn, and Sarah Palin and the rest of that filthy crowd would have sworn it was a fake.
They'd say, I want you to produce the placenta.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Produce the camera. Produce it. Right. because it has nothing to do with Barack Obama's presidency and everything to do with his race.
Right. It's an attack, and it's just a...
That's why that one line that Seth Meyers had was so great. You know, Mr. President, if your hair gets any more white, the Tea Party's going to endorse it.
I hear you. So we'll see what happens, and I don't see... Hopefully we'll get out of Afghanistan, because that's the reason we're there, but we're... I think we're secretly embedded in Pakistan a little bit deeper than we want to be, and that's a tricky situation there. So, see how that works out. And Japan's on fire over there. I'm sure we're getting some particles over here.
Oh yeah. Well, it's pretty clear. Like I think Chris was saying on the program the other night, don't drink the milk.
Don't drink.
Especially on the West Coast. Got to roll out of here, Jethro. Good to hear from you, brother.
Good to hear from you, Bob.
You doing okay?
California produce. Yeah, life is good.
Good, good.
I think Junior's ready for the Rock this year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. hook up and take him down there.
You know what? I think he'd do it.
Cool.
We'll talk soon. All bye right. Now.
Bye.
Time to get out of here. Thanks, everybody, for making this such an excellent discussion. I do appreciate it. Rick Smith is up next. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this happen. You, first and foremost. Yes, we made the April fundraising goal. Everybody, give yourself a big round of applause. Thank you. Thanks to Lottie in the chat room, our news ninjas Gene and Susan, our blogger, Texas Betsy. Be well, Betsy. Betsy will be absent for a little while. She's having a little bit of, she's having some surgery done. And she will be in our thoughts. Thanks to Reverbo, our op-ed columnist. Thanks to John Fox and Ben Birch, who make all the technical things happen that have to happen every time for this show to happen at all. And thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net.